For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. All right, welcome to Punch Drunk Sports, everybody. Our year-end podcast. That's right. This is our last podcast in 2015. It's been a great year. We appreciate all your support. It's been fun. So basically, the All Things Comedy Studio is going to be closed, shut down for 2 years because, you know, I mean, for 2 weeks.
Two
I said
weeks.
Again, 2 years.
For a lot of reruns weeks, for 2 years.
They got to give the slave labor a little time off. So we're going to have 2 weeks off, and then we'll be back with power. Ari will be back in Los Angeles starting in 2016. It has been a great year.
Yeah, we come back after New Year's, and it'll be just old school, all three of us in the studio. Are yeah. yelling at us for whatever reason he wants to.
Yelling because he can.
Yeah, yelling because he can.
And me and the Teeb back in the South. Teeb, are you doing anything for the holidays?
I will be around the Los Angeles area. I don't have any real plans. I'm doing the 23rd next Wednesday. I will be doing the Melrose Improv. So if anybody
oh,
is
you're
in
doing the
Comedy Juice.
That's great. Yep. That's great.
Anybody's in the Los
that's
Angeles.
That's a fun show.
Yeah, and it's the best of all the Comedy Juices is the Melrose one. Or it's my favorite one to do. I don't necessarily say it's the best. All the other ones are good too.
I like the San Diego one.
Oh, actually the Madhouse.
The Madhouse is fun. It's like a.
That's
like,
the last
holy
one
shit,
I did.
This is packed.
And I love that. And I love that room too. But I'm excited to do the Melrose Improv. So 23rd, 2 days before Christmas. If you're in Los Angeles and you're looking for something to do, not only will I have a good set, I will tell funny jokes, but in the parking lot, you can make love to my face if you show up and say the code Punch Drunk Sports. I will take you in the parking lot and suck your cock.
You know what, dude? We should. I'm gonna go into our SoundCloud,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to look at what cities we have the most listeners at,
oh.
and I think we should do shows there.
That's a great idea, especially when Ari's back. We should just do little...
We should do it. Like when Ari has an off night or something, we can go
like a Wednesday or Thursday, just a little one night close around town, you know?
That's great. Real quick, you know, this show wouldn't be possible without the sponsors who keep it going. Big shout out to BetDSI, BetDSI.com for all your bet needs. I know... I used them this weekend
Ugh.
And got housed. And congratulations, BetDSI. You just got back all the money. There you go.
I was so excited for you to watch those fights.
It was looking good, dude. It was looking good. And we'll get into that fight stuff. So BetDSI.com. Now, a lot of you guys went and used Punch Drunk, the promo code. The $10 doesn't come automatic right out the gate. You will get credit with the $10. It will come. We dealt with it. I love BetDSI. They just read up with us, so we're very thankful for everything. Also want to give a shout out to Caveman Coffee, cavemancoffee.com. Go to Caveman Coffee, use Punch Drunk Sports, get your 10% off your coffee needs.
And they just re-upped all of their nitro. Tate put up a video of them making, just filling those cans with that nitro, those little cans.
Let's get that shit. Let's get that shit. And then we also have Amazon links, which I owe you a couple bucks on that too, $20. $20 to you.
Hey, $20 is $20, guys.
$20 is going to make you holler. So Amazon links on punchdrunksports.com. Guys, go to punchdrunksports.com. This is your podcast. This is your website. This is where the listeners write. And we've gotten great listeners. We have had great writers on the show. Joe Bartnick now writes for the National Hockey League Writers Association. That's a professional. He started on our podcast.
Yeah.
On our website, punchdrunksports.com. Johnny Woodward has been doing a great job. We need writers. I'm telling you, this 2016, I'm really focusing on that website. My goal is to get it going. Whatever you want to write about. You want to do movie reviews. You want to do hot chicks on Instagram. You want to do fight of the week. We could do all that stuff. I would love to get that going. We're going to bring Ari in here in about 2 seconds. Tebow, where are you going to be? Oh, real quick, last thing. If you have a sponsor you think would be great to show, we'd love to have new sponsors.
Let us know. We're always into that.
We throw you cash if you get us a sponsor. We help us help you help us.
Yep. Like I said, I'll be at the Hollywood Melrose Improv on the 23rd. And big...
It's the truth, man.
Big exciting news. Sam's video is playing. Big exciting news. I am getting at Don Carlos Tacos, a burrito named after me.
Unbelievably awesome.
Thank you very much. It'll be on their February menu. Ari, don't be frustrated. We're figuring it out right now. February menu, potentially called The Hangover, and no cock bombs. Potentially called The Hangover, and every burrito that's sold, a dollar goes to AA's central office.
Hey, can you find a way to pick that? Oh, no, you don't want that.
Wow, Ari,
dude,
just...
first of all, Ari, lots of stuff going on. No!
Oh, why?
I don't need
you,
to see that.
God,
I really don't.
Damn it.
I really don't.
Wow,
I'm really
God.
Not happy about
Son
that.
Son of a bitch.
I'm really not happy about
You know what? And I'm fine with you being naked. I'm even fine with you taking a shit during the show. I don't need to see you wiping your ass.
Yeah, I just... Dude, I literally just threw up in my mouth. This is a horrible
I threw
to
up in your
podcast.
Mouth.
This is a... That would be so funny.
Oh, no. What, are you eating it? You're a 40-year-old man.
That was a good one.
That was
You're
horrible.
Half of 80. What are you doing right now?
It's horrible to watch.
And why do you have a mirror above the back of your toilet? Look at that, Sam.
I know, that's so weird, right?
Stop it. Oh,
I'm
gross.
Not looking at you. This will be the first podcast I just stare into Jason Tebow's eyes the whole fucking
Jesus.
Time.
Jesus.
Sorry, fellas.
No, that was horrible, dude.
Do you
that
always
was...
just...
And now you smelled your finger, and real quick, can we all agree? He did not wash his hands. He just left after he scooped that Jew clam of an asshole.
Does that surprise you?
That's disgusting.
I don't think he's washed his hands in years. I think he counts showering as washing his hands.
I wish I'd never say anything, because you know what he's going to do now? Eat. He's going to eat.
I'm going to wash my hands. I already ate.
Oh, gross.
So you were getting anything else in terms of shows?
Nope. Just if you want to come by the time you hear this, come to the 23rd, Melrose Improv. Come see me at Comedy Juice. And as always, you can check my Twitter. We're going to be down for 2 weeks for the holidays. So Merry Christmas.
Ari,
happy past Hanukkah. Happy New Year to everybody. And, you know, check my Twitter or my Facebook for any gigs that are coming up during my break, our break.
I am going to be tomorrow night. This comes out today. Tomorrow night, if you're in Los Angeles, go to the International Bad Boys Hour show at Flappers.
Wednesday night.
10 o'clock. Great lineup. Steven Randolph, who has been in the zone on stage. Chelsea Skidmore, who is gold. God, Chelsea Skidmore is every time I talk to her, she blows my mind. Literally, dude. We got Brett Weinbach, Jason Rouse.
Does that mean she sticks her mind in her mouth and just like works it in her
mouth?
Yeah,
she would do that. She's that cool. And then we got that. So then the 26th, I am with Ian Edwards, Dean Del Rey at Tower Theater in Fresno. And then I'm closing out New Year's at the LA Comedy Club in Las Vegas. I'm really excited to be out there for New Year's. It's a great thing.
And Ari, you're going to be at the Wiltern on New Year's, I saw the other day.
With Rogan, Diaz, and Duncan.
That's
a
great
show.
Yeah. That'll be a good New Year's.
Where do you think you go in that show? Where do you think you go? Where do you think you go, and where do you want to go?
Good question.
Ooh, okay. Well,
good question.
I'm the least popular of all those people.
That's interesting.
I would say you and Duncan are neck and neck.
No, I would say you're all on par.
Nah, I think Diaz is another thing, though.
I would tell you, dude, Duncan is sneaky super popular.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm not saying Duncan isn't popular.
They are all on...
I'm saying Diaz is up there, and then Duncan is sneaky popular, but both of them are above me.
So you're saying, by saying that, you're saying you think you're going first.
No, but that doesn't mean you'll go first, because Rogan likes to get the party started.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm going first.
I think any one of them gets the party started.
It might be Duncan first. It might be me first. I'm not really sure.
So are you Joey doesn't open now?
Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Depends if he wants to leave, if he gets cranky.
Yeah, I get that.
I got to go feed my cats, goddammit.
Yeah, go get out of there.
I mean, it's New Year, so he'll probably hang out for a little bit. I haven't seen him in a while. Oh, actually, I saw him last week in New York. It was great. Smoking reefer on the street, yelling at people.
I had lunch
with
him.
Chinese fucking pussy.
Look at his
cat. Get out of here. Just screaming at people walking by. With his
what was he doing in New York?
Him and his wife, him and Terry, were visiting with the kid.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. I had lunch with Theo Von over the weekend or Friday, and he's like, man, I just did Joey Diaz podcast. I got so high, I forgot to breathe out. Then he started talking to me. We were talking. I didn't even realize we was on a podcast. I had forgotten. Then I realized I hadn't been breathing out for a long time. I don't know how he smokes so much. I'm like, no shit, man.
Just you talking like Theo Von is funny. You should go up on stage, just talk like that. I think we should all do that. Like when it starts going bad, be like, I don't know why you
Theo
guys
Von's
don't
so
like
funny.
Me.
He told me that his friend, he goes, my friend screwed up his whole life. I go, what did he do? Like drugs? He goes, guns, drugs, and then he lost all his money in a glitter farm. A glitter mine. He invested all his money in a glitter mine.
Unbelievable. Ari, where are you going to be?
Well, tonight I got my storytelling show in Manhattan.
Ooh.
Sick lineup.
Where's that going to be?
The Village Underground.
Cool.
Yeah, and dude, I'm doing this thing because I hate the UCB so much. So I just split the door with the comics.
That's cool.
No matter where it is, because UCB will not pay anybody.
I can't believe that anybody's cool with that. And then you listen to these assholes are like, no, it's fine. I'm so thankful for this. Like, you don't understand what you're doing, dude.
You're right. And what you're doing to the whole, everything. You're saying that's okay to treat us this way.
Yeah. What you're doing right now is what I watch on Chatterbait, which is people having full-on sex for free with the hopes of getting maybe a token.
Yeah, it's hilarious, dude.
I'm like, you are so undercutting everybody trying to make a dollar in pornography.
Sure.
It's so
just to get your foot, just to get your cock in the door.
Yeah.
I just want to get my cock in the door, man. Then I'll make money later.
Maybe invest in a glitter farm or something like that.
The only thing I'd go for UCB to go is saying, like, listen, it's shitty. I'll still go because I don't have any leverage. But to say, like, nah, what they're doing is okay is, like, that's battered wife shit.
Yeah. No, that's, like, desperate fucking sheep shit, you know? Yeah. We're like, no, I'm fine with it, man. You've just... Those guys, it's so funny, man.
It's people that are like, I want the attention. I don't even realize that there's money in that attention.
It's my whole theory that deep down inside everybody, there is a third world dictator. And these guys who like started UCB, I'm sure they're nice guys, but UCB's always been like, we're the alt people. We're just the nerdies.
We're
you know, and you're like, we've been treated like betas by society. But deep down inside, you want to scorch the earth like everybody. You just want to fuck everything, take all the money, not share with anybody, because we all have third world dictator cavemen in us. And it's just the truth. The fact that you're so popular and you don't throw anybody any money, now you could say, hey, listen, Flappers might do that. But no, when you headline a show, Flappers gives you money, dude. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's you know like... They UCB goes, well, you know, improv and sketch doesn't make money. It's like, we're talking about stand-up shows. And also, they're like, we can barely get by. And like, in the last 2 years, you opened up a third and fourth location.
Yeah.
The one on Sunset has a gigantic neon sign that had to be $10,000.
Yeah.
And then Amy Poehler has the gall to actually pass around a hat to say you need to support the show when it just goes to the theater and none goes to a fucking millionaire.
And people already paid to get in.
That doesn't go to the performers.
This isn't an AA meeting, you dumb twat.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Shots fired!
So in response to that, I just take the door and I just split it up evenly between the comics. So last time, comics all got $874 to do the show.
Oh, that's cool, dude.
That's what I was doing for the three for 30. I'm like, look, whoever I book, whatever we make at the door, we just split it three ways. Evenly, everyone does the same amount of time. Yeah. You know, if we make $400, everybody gets $133.
That's great. But at least it should be some sort of split. Like the club will get half, like the store does on main room shows.
Yeah.
The comics will get half.
Yeah.
That's like... Fair enough. All right.
Ari, I'm working on a thing where I'm with All Things Comedy for Vegas, and that's basically comics get 75% of the door.
Ooh. That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's a fun one night get in, get out type fucking thing. So I'm going to let y'all know about that. But
And then this just added January 6th in Los Angeles in the Belly Room. I'm going to run my hour.
All right. So I'm excited about that.
I'll tweet out tickets today.
I'm excited about that. Now, yeah, that's a great place to work it, too. You can't think, you know what, man? I should just do two shows in the Belly Room to do my... I want to shoot a special, but I also just want to... I'm just ready to take all these jokes I've accumulated over the last year.
Tiana
and a half,
did hers there, and it just sounded great.
Just, I want to put it... I want to shoot it, actually. I want to shoot it.
Mm.
I want to own my all my own shit, sell my own...
Yeah, why not the Belly Room?
Yeah, the Belly Room's not bad. There's also a couple other clubs that I would like to do. We're not taking calls right now. Thank you guys for calling in right now. We're just not going to take calls because there's a lot to talk about. And then at the end, we'll do Callapalooza. And we'll everybody.
No. We'll take calls as we go. Maybe if they have some. We don't have any screeners, huh?
Yeah, that's the one
thing. The thing is, then it's we open up that can of worms and then we just take calls for 90 straight.
By the way,
minutes.
How great was last week with all those guys calling you, Sam?
Son of a bitch. And I didn't even know. I didn't know until after the
everybody
show.
Everybody was texting me. I already put this out. And then the most bitch ass part of it, he deletes the tweet. Like he's fucking. Just trying
asshole.
To cover a murder up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on Facebook, I changed the tweet to say, just to say, hey, taking calls at Punch Drunk Sports. And like that's it. You can edit it.
You're such an asshole. Why'd you shave the fucking mohawk?
Oh, I just noticed that. Oh, look at that. Look at that hairline.
Oh, I think you got a good head for shaving, dude.
Dude, look down. Look down.
I think it looks better for you.
Ooh, that looks good. That's retreating like the French, though. Look at those peaks.
You know, wow. Ari, the weird thing about you, dude, is like, you can do anything you want with your top head, but you have to have facial hair or else you just have a totally different fucking vibe.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, dude, what's that guy doing at the park by himself kind of vibe? You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Why is that guy in the corner swinging right now? You're too old to be swinging right now. It's very creepy vibe. But with the facial hair, you have a funny, like, oh, I'm just a funny Jew telling jokes.
If Ari shaves his head, shaves his face with that bald head, he looks like that the guy that's in that game Operation. You know that you're pulling
100%. All the things. Ari does look like Operation.
Oh, yeah.
That's Ari's new fucking Halloween costume.
Yeah. Just a red nose and a bunch of organs taped to your fucking chest.
You know what just happened to me? I had a Vietnam flashback of Ari wiping his ass. And it just literally flashed, and I had a quick little throw up, and I had to push it down.
The worst was him, which you turned and looked at me. So I almost don't even want to tell you this. But the worst is, because you were looking at me, he wiped his ass and then held it to his face.
You know what?
What are you, a 7-year-old?
Yeah, he is.
I wonder what poop smells like. Ooh, that ain't good.
That ain't good. So anyways, we were talking about the holiday party at the Comedy Store, and then we'll get into the UFC 194. Lives have changed. It was just insane. Now, Ari, back when you were here, you know, there was a different regime. Well, you were here during the regime change, but, there was this – Dean was who I love. Dean would throw – and Polly would throw holiday parties, but they would do it two days before Christmas because they knew everyone would be gone. So it was like me and some just third world
fucking
dishwasher.
It was just three alcoholics there because we knew there would be free booze.
Yeah.
It was just me, you, and another alcoholic sitting around a tub full of free beer.
And Fat Eddie selling – the worst Coke in the world?
Yeah.
Fat Ellie's Coke is cut with gasoline and pesticide. What?
Yeah, he had bad Coke, that guy Eddie?
Elf, Fat Eddie's Coke was the worst. It was like...
How did he still get Dean's girlfriend to blow him while Dean
was working? Because when you're a Cokehead, bad Coke's better than no Coke.
Oh.
And when you're a cock zombie, bad cock's better than no cock. So it really was a perfect storm for her mouth.
It's so funny. Jill Allen came to the Comedy Store last night, and she's like prancing around because she got a new boyfriend. She's like, this is my new boyfriend. And then she's like, Sam, you're an old man now. And I'm like, just say one more comment to me.
Really?
And I'm going to let your boyfriend know how there was a period of about 7 years where you were the Comedy Store bike. Okay? Everyone was riding you. Just say one more fucking thing.
I can't believe she has the balls to come there and be anything but cool.
And then, you know what she's doing? I was watching her. She's doing old school, like, it's so funny, 2009 Comedy Store, which was... Go in the back to the main room, start doing the rails of blow.
She was doing Coke last night?
She was doing the classic, get a group, go in the back.
Ugh, like anybody doesn't know what that is. Like Eric won't have her fucking head for that. Not to mention, she probably doesn't know about all the cameras.
Why would she?
Because she's doing stand-up now.
I love the quotation marks with the fingers,
too. Not the place to do it. That's not the place to do it.
Yeah.
Place we've alienated anyone. Only reason people like you is because...
You drain their cocks.
Yeah, you're draining their cocks.
And the thing is, all this new regime and all these new people there and, you know, people there that are like younger than all of us, they don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
They don't even know who Dean was.
Well, you want to warn them almost.
Yeah, well, of course, a lot of them, or a lot of them, you
young,
want to throw them
young
way.
Men, gather around, witch's brew, witch's brew.
I'll tell you a tale of disgust and regret.
I don't mind, like, that she, you know, that she's if you're here, you're going to drain some dicks, and that's always good for the Comedy Store, you know, but that's what you're there for.
But if you show up with your new boyfriend,
yeah.
Your job is no longer exists.
Yeah, we got to let
bye.
You go. Yeah, we got to let you go.
Bye-bye,
bye,
cunt.
To drain dicks. That's what
and
you're
it's not
there.
Like you were neutral. It's not like people are like, oh, I didn't even notice her. except for the dick draining. It's like, oh, you were horrible and spiteful and ruined the vibe of
yeah.
the place.
And the only reason we let you hang around because you were draining dicks. That's why.
One time she was trying to like entice. I never hooked up with her. I never
really?
Never.
So would you say she's the only bike at the Comedy Store that you didn't drain?
No, there was a few of them, but she was
did
definitely
you ever
high
hit
on
Katie?
That list. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
You either did or you didn't.
Yeah, there was a moment we had. But she this
what is that?
This chick tells me, hang on, go
ahead. I love Katie.
Oh, I love her too. She's great, and she's a great person too.
She is a great person.
But she one time Jill's like, my pussy is like a roll of dimes. And I go, I don't know what that means, but I'm more of a silver dollar kind of a guy, bitch.
What does that mean?
I think she was implying that she had a tight vagina, which would surprise me. I would think that thing looked like a fucking two-car garage.
By the way, any girl who like talks about just loving big dicks, you just know they have a fucking car trunk for a pussy. Like they literally like it's something you fucking you don't want to even bury your dick in there. You just want high bodies in there. Just like bury it and then fucking get her out to the desert so she can shit it out. You know it's
yeah.
It just and then Black Claudine came by. Claudia, remember Black Claudia?
Oh yeah.
She was nice.
Guess who I saw last weekend, guys? I think Saturday night.
Who?
Drunk Katie was there after we just talked
what?
About her. Yeah. And she was living up to her reputation.
My God, Sad, you got any
she
coke?
She was 100% was looking for coke and was pretty hammered. I go, hey, what's up? Hugged me and I was like, I was just talking about you. Why do fucking people keep saying that to me? I'm like, I don't know what other people have to say, but we were literally just talking.
Has she aged at all? She does not age. For a
nope.
woman who completely
nope.
destroys her body.
Looks great. Looks
all right,
great.
How old do you think she is?
She's got to be around our age.
Good point. At least 35.
So, dude, like, that shit yeah.
she gotta be older than that.
Decaying by now.
Yeah.
There's
yeah, yeah.
no crack in that armor.
No, she looked really good.
It's been filled in with spackle.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
I guess that's a word for it, spackle.
So the party was last night. It was a lot of fun, and just some of the waitresses just looked.
This is a good crop of waitresses as far as kindness. They all fit in good. There's not a lot of cattiness. You know, for years, a lot of them would fight. And they're all really cute, and you know, so you could be like, oh, wow. And they show up to the party, like, dressed up in dresses and stuff.
Oh, dressed to kill.
And then you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know you had all that.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Good for you.
That Megan girl was fucking smoking. Whenever a girl has a dress on, I love to do the creepy rub down thing to see if there's underwear there. Because nothing's better than when there's no underwear. You know it's time to go.
Sam Tripoli's secret creepy moves.
Why is that creepy? You don't do that, Ari, where you just see if there's underwear?
What do you mean, see if it's underwear?
You know, if a girl's wearing a dress, you kind of do the feel along the hip.
You feel to see if they're wearing underwear?
Yeah, like I said,
or panty line.
How is that creepy?
Yeah, panty line.
Yeah,
you know,
I
is there underwear?
I don't feel for a panty line.
Why not? If you're holding her, why not grab?
Because then Sam Chipley will fight me at a 4th
no,
of July.
No, that's a totally different thing.
What
that's
happened
totally
with that?
Bobby Lee was hugging
let me just say something about this real quick before we start up.
Sure.
Ari Shaffir's history of antagonizing me from the
anybody, not just you, but he does love you the most because you get that armor
so
anger.
I start to
up.
Wonder why, like, why he hates me. And it's just, and then, like, he put this picture up, and then I go, oh, this hasn't been a new thing. This has been him terrorizing me since the start. My first memory of Ari Shaffir is Terry the waitress walking by, and I'm like, hey, man.
Diaz's wife?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It was a different. What was her name? She was the girl who she sued the Comedy Store, and everybody thinks she's the one who.
What's her name?
Who bitched to.
Andrea. Yeah.
And I go, hey. And that's the name he gave me. I go, what's her name? Well, it's Terry. I go,
as soon as you walk by, he goes, hey, what's that waitress's name? I forgot.
And he gives me the wrong name.
Terry.
He goes, Terry.
On
I go,
purpose?
Hey, Terry. She's like, my name's Andrea. Yeah. And just fucking storms off. I'm like, and so it begins. So it begins. And this is like this 10 years.
My first memory of Tripoli, and this is also this long 10 years of exactly the same, is Lauren Peltz. It was at the bottom of the steps of the OR, the back steps of the OR. And you guys were passing each other. And I was new to the store. And Lauren was like, you said something to her, you made fun of her, and she goes, he's such a fucking asshole. God, what I want to fuck him.
Yeah.
She said that about
you. And you hated me. And you
I was
hated
like, what
me.
What is this place?
Dude, she used to fucking lay Dude, I used to have stories with Lauren Peltz where we'd be in the green room of the belly room.
I don't remember who that is.
She was this Jewish waitress who, like, early on, like, she was best friends with Eleanor.
Okay, she would just, that's a long time ago.
She just started talking to me, and just one day she just fucking put her legs up, spread eagle, and I was just like, oh, my God. And
she was showing you her clam?
No, she still had, like, spandex on. Oh. But
did
it
you
was
give
like,
her the rub before to see if she had spandex on?
Hey, dude,
on?
You guys can say what you want about that. That's my go-to move.
I like it. I'm not
knocking
it.
When I know they don't have underwear, I know they're down.
That is true.
That's just my theory.
That is a statement. That is a statement in garments.
Yeah.
I don't have time to take these off. Just bend me over a sink, load
and
me like a shotgun.
Just slam ham. So, hey, you want to get into this awesome weekend we had?
Oh, man.
We got to talk UFC. I also want to talk Heisman, too. How, like, I'm just not happy that kid won it. I don't think.
You know, what's so interesting about the Heisman is, like, it happened with so little fanfare.
You know why?
I didn't even
know. Nobody stood out this year. Once Lauren Fournette from LSU fell off.
Fournette, yeah.
Nobody. Even though they had great seasons, there was nothing to talk about.
But usually ESPN, the network, TMZ ESPN, and ABC, they'll bombard you for a couple weeks, like, Heisman next weekend, 2 weeks till. I didn't hear a goddamn
nothing.
Peep about it.
I didn't even believe it was Saturday.
I was
like,
looking at Bleacher Report.
Heisman. You're like, because usually you see them on the tour, they're like, they just arrived in New York for 3 days. They didn't do any of
none
that?
It was like no fanfare whatsoever. And then I was at the store watching the fights, and someone came out to me and was like, hey, did you see that? I'm like, was that today? They're like, yeah. I'm like,
who
no,
won?
It wasn't.
What's his name?
The running
That's
back from Alabama, whatever his name is.
Yeah, like, was it Walker or something like that?
I mean, he had a great year.
He did have a great year.
Set a record in touchdowns.
That white boy from Stanford, I thought, had the best year.
I mean, there's a lot of people you could argue, but it's bottom line, it's like, is it a meaningless trophy now?
I don't think it is, man. I think people try to go, oh, it's not that great. I mean, like, dude, look at the last couple guys who won it, with the exception of Tebow. I mean, they're all doing – okay, and Johnny Manziel, who I still think – could do really well. He won his game the other day.
Yeah.
You know?
How did he throw?
Not
he
bad.
He threw one interception, but he had like a touchdown, and he threw for like 250. But you have Jameis Winston, who I still think is going to be great.
You could argue him rookie of the year right now.
And then you have Mariota, who's great too.
Awesome.
Who's having a good season. And, you know, I just think it's still I think it's still worth something. There's always going to be those guys that don't translate.
Well, the problem, I think, with the Heisman is that everybody wants to just leave it at college. Leave it at – that's the biggest award individually you can get in college. But everybody wants to translate that into the NFL. Oh, well, he was the best player in college. It's a different game. It's a different game.
It's also – you go from – most likely the best team in that level to the worst team in that level.
A lot of times, yeah, you're right about that.
You know, they don't necessarily go to a good team where, you know, they could take advantage of their skills.
Yep.
They bring these guys in, they just plug them into whatever they're running at that point, and they don't, like the great example is Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon in college ran a I-back formation, I think that's called, which means he always had a fullback.
Yep.
They don't do that in San Diego. They don't have anybody taking that initial first guy so he can hit it.
It's a different running style that he's used to, and it takes time for him to get used to that.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, you brought in this guy with your first pick. You gotta cater to this kid. I mean, like, dude, when you miss out on a first pick, in particular quarterback, it sets your team back.
5 years sometimes.
I mean, dude, that first round pick, you gotta hit it, dude.
Yep. And that's why we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of running backs aren't going till the second round. A lot of these quarterbacks, unless they are a fucking franchise guy, a lot of these guys go in second, third round, and it's all defense and offensive linemen in that first round because you get more bang for your buck with that, and you're not gambling with your franchise's future on one guy.
Yes.
Receivers are still kind of, a couple of them will go first round, but a lot of those, you know, position players like that are going second, third round because I don't want to invest $60 million in a guy that might be on the bench.
Yep.
Might be on the bench.
Yep.
You know?
It's crazy. Big bad weekend for the Cowboys. I know we should be in the UFC right now, but we might as well just get in the NFL.
Why does it matter for the Cowboys? They're already out.
They should be out. And it's like, I mean, I know it's like the NFL more than any other sport seems like you're not allowed to be like, we're tanking it. They just say, even when they say, like, no, NFL teams don't tank it.
Are there any sports that can actually vocalize, hey, man, we're tanking it?
No, but they can not hide it.
What do you mean by that?
Baseball, it's like, oh, they're not trying at all.
Yeah,
remember, like a couple years ago, the Houston, the Houston Astros, and it's kind of paid off because their farm system, they got all these high draft picks. Basketball, it's you're like, oh, that team does not want to win.
If I was the Lakers, I would not want to win.
No, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And dude, everybody involved is hoping the Lakers get Ben Simmons. Nobody wants him to go to fucking Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But if they got him, that would change that team. That would change that fucking
team. The Lakers?
If the Lakers got Ben Simmons, they could use him at scoring forward. He is a fucking monster. He's the best college player since probably Kevin Durant. And everybody keeps saying he's got LeBron James skill sets, which is so hilarious because everybody's like, LeBron James is a once-in-a-lifetime player. Nope, 10 years later, another guy, and that's 10 years, but another guy came through. He's got the same skill set but taller.
Wow.
How tall is he?
He's 6'10". LeBron's 6'9".
I can't wait till there's a 9-footer in the NBA.
Dude,
you know, be like 1,000 years, but there'll be a 9-footer.
Not maybe 9-foot, but I wouldn't doubt if you saw a guy who is really close to 8-foot, but is like a good 8-foot, and that is Kevin Durant's kid. He's married to this like 6'4 chick who plays in the NBA. So that you're talking like who's won a WNBA championship?
Kevin Durant's wife?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's nasty, and he's nasty. That kid's going to be able to, and that kid is like when you start thinking, like, why is Steph Curry so great? Uh-huh. Because his dad is Del Curry, this incredible shooter, one of the best three-point shooters of all time in the NBA. And that kid was raised in an NBA gym, which with basketball coach, you're probably like, no, try this, Steph, try this. And it just like lock in.
It's funny when people do that. I'd be like, all right, you should knock up Amy Schumer. And just people would be like, man, that's going to be a funny kid.
Yeah.
Funny looking, fat, his own shit.
Is Amy Schumer only fucking, like, super alphas, or is she still, like, banging the occasional good-looking comic on the side? Any word on the streets?
I don't know. I actually have not seen her or heard of her dating anybody.
If I was her, I'd do both. I don't know. I don't like when people knock that, because men, they don't care. But when women, it's like, hey, she's coming up, and now she's banging NBA players. She should.
The easiest way to move up society's American social scales and financial scale is to be a hot chick with a tight snatch. Because you could fuck one guy, get knocked up, and now, boom, you are in a higher tax bracket.
Yep.
It is the easiest way to move up and down. Which should get into the story that I sent you guys. Man, everybody wants to
talk to
you.
I read that this morning. I mean, we got an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Trust me, we'll get to the UFC, everybody.
Did you look at the link I sent you?
I read it this morning.
It's whatever. It's an open micer. Wrote a fucking article about why she's not doing well. Who cares?
Okay.
Agreed.
I thought we were going to have a debate about that.
If somebody wrote an article about women in comedy and how unfair and unjust it is, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't.
I have just as much
trouble getting booked for a lot of these shows as some of these chicks that don't have any credits get. So
I've read this article 20 times. It's like,
but if somebody wrote,
you've read 20 times, you just don't want to talk about it.
If somebody wrote this,
different articles, the same article written.
It is the same article written. But if somebody wrote this article that wasn't a woman, that was a struggling comic, I would give it a lot more gravity. If it was written by a successful male comic that's like, hey, man, I think it's got to be hard and it's an unjust system. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It also wasn't very well written. That was
she's got an axe to grind with this, and
well, she's
so many
trying
things
to
she
explain.
Said,
the real article should be: why aren't I working? And here's what I'm blaming it on.
Yeah,
it's like, sweetie,
she's not even bitching about male comics at all. She's booking about bookers. She's bitching about bookers, and then it's like,
yeah, it's just like you're trying to explain, dude. There was a show called Pretty Funny Women, in which one of the girls on the show, the whole season was filming her bombing.
Right.
They said Stephanie Sambari could not stop bombing on that show. Every set was like, here I go to bomb again. It's like, why is Stephanie Sambari on television? Because she's a white woman in Hollywood doing comedy. You're 70% of the buying power. The biggest demographic of anybody in the United States is white women. Who's
the biggest demographic?
Based on population. There's more white women than anybody else in this country.
The thing about it is, it's not, nobody's holding women back. It's like you're looking for any girl who's like passable to put on stuff, especially now with like the idea. So when she used the example of Houston Whatever Fest as an example of why women aren't invited to comedy, and then she asked the guy, and the guy's like, "Oh no, we invited tons of women, and they didn't come." And she goes, "Well, still."
That's the point I wanted to make.
The Bridgetown Comedy Festival had 35 women last year.
Somebody complained.
You're just using what? It's like they all wanted to exist in a vacuum, and they all wanted to be about why they're not going getting ahead. I mean, meanwhile, this lady shits on Amy Schumer in her Twitter feed.
Yeah, same thing. About, you know, Adam, who's a talent coordinator of the Comedy Store, is one of my best friends, and we talk about this shit all the time. And he's like, you know, people will shit on the lineup every time and be like, there's only three women out of these 10 comics. And he's like, here are the list of all the female comics, and here's their avails that they sent in, and none of them could perform this Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I picked from the people that were available this Wednesday, and only three of them have to be women. We're not going to shut the fucking club down because seven women can't be on the fucking lineup.
Dude, we were talking about this last night.
Three out of ten, those are good numbers based on a level, like the Comedy Store paid regular level comics.
Yeah, sure. You don't want to drop a two-year comic in the middle of that fucking lineup
just because she has tits.
They would rather have shittier lineups with women involved than good lineups with them less, represented. And it's like, all right, you're the only one thinking you guys are a minority.
Yeah.
How about encourage more open mic females to not quit?
Yeah.
And then there's be a problem. I don't know what to tell you, but they're just not around much.
How
and
about plenty doing
of girls
more
on Netflix or headliners? Natasha, Jen Kirkman, Aaron Jackson. There's tons out there.
Tons.
Like what? I don't want to tell you. It's like no one's holding you back.
Just I see these girls.
You'll get ahead. You'll get ahead of the game.
Doing
just,
comedy on
so that you can get a writing job.
I do this on television. I see some of these girls on television that I never see performing anywhere. Even when there's shows where like younger comics are popping up. Yeah. I never see these girls ever gigging. They're hanging out at the store. They're hanging out. I never see them anywhere.
I give a speech to I give a little talk to open mic comics.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I put it out for weeks. I was like, hey, I'm doing this speech. Like, if you guys want any questions, I'm here to help you. I'm just here as a resource.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people showed up and zero women.
Yeah.
So this woman would say, well, that's a problem. You shouldn't have done that. I'm like, oh, it was an open invitation.
Yeah. You could have showed up, and it's just easier to explain off why it's not working than to be like, I have to work harder, or I'm just not good enough.
Dude, they're going to write the same thing about my show this year, and I know they are, and I've already talked to my other producers, like, I will take the hit, because we had women, and they canceled.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what to tell them anymore, and I don't
Christina
care.
Canceled?
No, Christina did it.
Okay.
Bonnie McFarlane canceled.
I love
Bridget
Bonnie
Everett
McFarlane.
Canceled. Jessica Williams just canceled my last show.
And you shouldn't, as a promoter or somebody who's doing a TV show where you're having other comics, or if you're promoting a room, you shouldn't have to fucking explain yourself. I've worked my ass off to promote this show, to get the venue, to book comics. I shouldn't have to explain to some fucking open mic or cunt why there aren't more people that validate you.
Yeah.
I've asked several women. I've asked several black people. But to me, I don't see it that way. I just know, 222 comics. Some of them are black. Some of them are women. Some of them are gay. Some of them are straight. I just see them as comics, and I'm trying to put together the funniest show that I can based on who's available.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? You kill, yeah. I'll book you. Trust me. If you kill as a woman, you will get so far ahead.
Instantly.
Of a guy who kills.
Instantly.
Instantly.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. If I could come back, and maybe I said this on this show before, if I could come back as a comedian in another life, I would make sure I was a female, lesbian, overweight, handicapped, slightly retarded comic.
What would be your handicap and retarded? Like you have like a club foot?
I have like
and Down syndrome?
Yes, I have like I have 11 fingers on one hand, no fingers on and toes on my other
hand.
You
would literally be like some like down in fucking him limpy or some shit like that. That'd be so great. Like, hey, God, yep. And you
but I'm gay.
Fucking
but
great.
I'm a lesbian. It
and
takes me 9 minutes to do a 15-minute set. 10 of those minutes are me getting on and off stage. I do about 3 jokes about what it's like to have toes for fingers and fingers for toes and how oppressed I am. And nobody understands what it's like. And then I fucking, there I go, just fucking.
You are the best.
Limping off the stage, peeling fucking, eating bananas with my feet, because my fingers are toes.
All right, so let's, Tebow, please, let's, when are you, Ari, we got to shoot that short. We got to shoot, fucking.
What? Slow stroke?
Slow stroke. When you're back, I got a guy, we should ask Ben to shoot it for us. Ben Wolfenson. He shoots a lot of stuff.
Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely.
We just got to cast it right. It would be so funny. Slow stroke. Let's get into the huge weekend. Everybody wants to talk about it. I was excited about being able to come on it. An insane weekend of sports. We still have great fights coming up this week, too. But let's get into last week from, all the fight nights and the fight pass and everything.
Since our last show, there's been 17 fight cards from the UFC.
There's been three. Three great ones.
3 in 7 days is quite a lot.
That is a lot.
Considering we would have to go like half a year to have three
and
back in the day.
It's so funny because they were all in like 2 square miles.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I didn't think about that.
To the MGM Grand, it's just like basically 1 or 2 square miles.
Yep.
And it just like, and it's such a smart thing for the UFC because now you create almost like your own super event, your own Super Bowl of MMA.
Yep, and everybody's there.
If I was Bellator, I'd find somewhere else. I'd do my own show.
Because you're like, hey, we got tickets for 194. Let's go a day early and go to the Palms.
Yeah.
You know, and now you're like
those
double banging on money.
Those are great
fights, too. That was great. That card
Frankie
was great.
Egger versus Chad Mendez.
Who didn't see that? I didn't see that coming.
I
thought Egger would win, but I didn't think he was going to clip him like that. I mean, he dropped him.
What do you do now as Mendez?
I mean, you know what? I think people put a lot of gravity in a UFC loss. You know, if you're a top five guy and you lose to another top five guy, you just keep rolling with the punches. If it's a great fight, maybe you have a rematch because everybody thought that it was a good fight, but you just move on.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks what we need is like, oh, there's going to be somebody that's just going to be undefeated forever. Not in MMA, man. This isn't boxing.
Yeah.
You can't hide from people.
Yeah.
You can't duck.
Yeah.
You're going to get losses. Some of the best fighters are going to have 4 or 5 losses
right.
in their career.
If you're undefeated, it's most likely because you handpicked your opponents and you didn't go up against the best.
Yeah, and I don't think that's really an option in MMA. Remember the days of like 10 years ago? I mean, we've all been MMA fans for a long time with like Rampage and Liddell and all those guys. And they were, you know, they would have 3 or 4 fights against each other and one would win twice and the other would win twice. And you're like, man, those were always wars when those two guys or whoever it was would go against each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever was the champ, there was 3 or 4 guys over a 5-year run that almost shared that belt depending on who was fighting who.
There were some guys that like didn't have great winning record. I forget what his name is. Do you remember Ari, the guy who was the fireman from Indiana? And he was the bald guy, and his record was like 14-10.
What weight class?
I think it was 170.
Uh-huh.
But every time he showed up, it was a war.
Yeah.
You know, and I know as a fighter, you don't want to be getting 10 losses, but it's like, I'll pay to see your fight. I'll buy you add value to a great title fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, and he's on there, and you know, he goes at it.
I don't know, man. There was a lot of fights, only one female fight, so I don't think it was a good fight.
I mean, there should be 9 female fights and then just one, you know, like these two guys are the new fighters in town. No one's ever heard of them.
You can watch Invictus on Fight Pass.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not giving women the respect they deserve. I want to see 10 women that have never fought before get a chance to be in the UFC just so it's even, man.
I know a girl who said that every comedy festival should be 50% women, 50% men. And I'm like, you know, you're way less than 50% of comedians.
Yeah, you're like way less.
That's fair. We're half the population of the world. We should be half the population.
That's so stupid.
But you know what I don't want?
That's so stupid.
You know what I don't want? I don't want a female doctor that has just became a doctor just so the odds are even.
Yeah.
I want somebody that wants to be a doctor that knows how to take care of me, not somebody that's making the fucking world an even place to be. Because it's not an even place to be.
What about the fact that that's what Title IX is, which like the sports programs should mirror the population, meaning if you have this many females, it should be a percentage of sports. But that just makes no fucking sense because women don't play sports like men. There are women who do play sports.
But not as much.
Not nearly as much. So now you're getting rid of a program like wrestling. Wrestling, there, you know, there's money in wrestling. There's tournaments, there's all shit. There's no money in, like, field hockey. Well, maybe there is in field hockey, but you can find a sport where you're like, where's the money in that? And it's like, oh, you don't care about making money. Well, so now you're not asking for equality. You're asking for special treatment.
Right.
Which is, you want to exist where there's no consequences, which is, either you produce or you lose your job. You want to produce regardless of the results.
Right. You know what doesn't have a problem? Women's tennis.
Women's tennis is fantastic.
Women's MMA actually is.
I like women's MMA. I like women's tennis.
I love volleyball.
I can watch women's golf.
Money, I want to buy a woman's volleyball pro. I think you could make that a fucking really great fucking thing.
You know what they did in England? So the same kind of Title IX thing. They were worried about women not having a, because they are on TV. The only stand up really is those panel shows.
Yeah.
And so they got they made this mandate. They said every single panel show must have at least one woman on there. From now on, not like overall, you need this percentage, like every show must have one woman. Mm-hmm. So the result is the same six women work a fuckload.
I was going to say, if you're really good at panel shows, yeah, you're very in favor of that rule.
They were already working, and now they just work a lot more. It's not like, great, now we'll promote more women. It's like, no, there aren't more women that are funny.
Yeah.
So we just have to keep using these same ones over and over again.
Yeah, you should be something, which is why there should be a union in comedy. How many? What is the percentage of your union members are female versus male? And that should be the percentage of having to be on these shows.
My friend did a submission for a late night talk show for writing, and they said one of the things you had to write was why it's what about being a female is important to you or something like that. They're looking for women writers. Now, what they should do if they want equality is say, hey, if you're going to submit for this, take your name off the packet and just send it in so we don't know if it's a man or woman.
Yeah.
Type it so
they
we
don't
can
want that.
Handwriting.
It has nothing to do with that.
Then we'll just judge based on the quality.
The truth of the matter is this, man. It's never about equality. It's all about I want to get mine. Once I get mine, everything else can be equal. It's like the Oscars. Why is the Oscars audience so white? Well, because if you interviewed everybody in there, they'd all be like, equality is important. We have to have everybody should be represented. Okay, well, we have a black actor who needs a seat. Can you give up your seat? Oh, no.
Right.
I gotta, once I'm here, then we can talk about equality.
Wonderful point.
You know?
Wonderful point.
They all just want to get theirs. Yep. Then they'll change the
everybody
world.
Everybody wants everybody else to give up what they have for equality, but I don't want to give up what I have because I fucking earned it.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, equality isn't about earning it. Yeah. It's about somebody has to give up what they've earned so that people that haven't earned it can be in the game too.
100%, dude. 100%. So let's get back to these UFC fights and we'll get off of chicks.
And first of all, okay, let's start with Frankie Edgar.
Okay.
Let's start with those fights.
Sure. I love him, dude. He is a guy, he is a sneaky dude who I think you could easily talk about. The whole thing about the UFC and like who's a Hall of Famer and who's not a Hall of Famer, because it's so new, it's just, there's no real like standard that you have to go, what is this?
Sure.
What isn't this? Like, I'm like, hey man, if you get like 20 fight of the night performances or, you know, maybe are you a UFC Hall of Famer? Maybe like Joe Lozon, who's every time he fights, it's like a fight of the night.
Yeah.
But he's never going to fight for a title.
Sure.
Is that what matters?
Same with Clay Guida.
Yeah.
Every fight he's in is a goddamn war. You know, he'll never see a strap, and he never has. But you got to be like, man, well, that guy, he's been in 31 amazing fights.
Yeah.
And really gave you everything that he had. Does that make him a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. What is the question? Frankie Edgar and me is the sneakiest of the Hall of Famers because almost every fight he is in is either for a title or a contention to who gets the title shot.
Yep.
And he's like, he was a champion in a weight class that he was way too small for, and now he's in this new one. He could get fucked again because Conor might move up to 155.
I read today that he wants to fight at 155 for the title in April, and then in July he wants to defend this title against Edgar.
So Edgar has to wait all this thing, all this
time.
Yeah,
that's the same thing about Holm. Now it's 8 months until Holm can fight again. And it's like, wait, people have been stripped for their title for waiting a month, eight months. And now you're going to make this woman who wants to fight not fight so you can get the bigger payday 8 months if Rousey's recovery goes okay. Like,
is that because of Rousey has to wait 6 months?
Yeah, she has to wait six months for her thing. But I feel like Holmes gives the UFC an out, which is, I want to fight now. And, I think Dana is one of the most brilliant people in the aspect of he's created something from that a sport that was dying. And he took it to where it is now, to we just had its first, like, big national fucking weekend. Like, it's not the Super Bowl level, but it is their Super Bowl in a weird way,
this
right?
This last weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So he's built this from nothing. But, man, he just does stuff where you're like, what are you fucking doing? And the biggest one is, why are you throwing your cash cow in with someone which everybody universally agrees she's going to get the same thing's going to happen? Why? She's giving you out like, I want to fight now. Which gives you time to put Ronda up against Miesha Tate. Someone she can easily beat.
Here's what you should do. I thought about this. Either way, Rousey's first fight is going to be at Holly Holm. And it's going to be a massive fight. Now, in the meantime, let Holly Holm face Miesha Tate. They're going to shitload of money off that. Here's this new woman. She beat their champion. The same way they promote Chris Weidman, they're going to promote this Holly Holm. If Holly Holm wins, no big deal. Now she's not just a fluke. She's won on the big stage again, even after it. And now you can get the rematch. If she loses, you let Ronda Rousey face her. It's still a massive rematch.
Yes. Winner gets Miesha Tate.
Yes.
And then the winner of that gets this next massive payday.
Yeah.
It's like, now it's for a title.
It's like,
now
do you want two paydays or one?
Back. It gets Miesha Tate.
100%, dude. I totally agree with that. And it's like, you know, I talked to Daryl LaMontre a lot about, like, we love talking the fight game. And he was talking about how the UFC missed such a golden opportunity to promote Cyborg, you know, as this another way to sell a fight. That this girl is an exciting fight. She's going to go through people. And because you were protecting Ronda Rousey, you didn't develop a 145 weight class.
Right.
You know, and like, it's all short dollars, I feel like, with him. And I, listen, dude, who am I to judge a guy who's built something for nothing? And every time I met him, he's the nicest guy ever. And like, he could be like, dude, why don't you go build a $1 billion industry? And I could be like, well, good point. But it's like, you are doing short dollar thoughts right here.
Yeah, well, tell Dana White to go to betdsi.com, use the code PUNCHDRUNK. Then we'll see who's building an industry, fuckface.
You know, it's like, Daryl brought up a good point. It's like, when he threw, who's the big guy, the white guy that, what's his name, Brock Lesnar, in with juiced out Overeem. Who, when Brock Lesnar had just gotten off of getting his asshole scoped for fucking three months, and he couldn't put, and you throw him right in with a juiced out motherfucker like Overeem. It's like, it's such short sightedness.
Yeah. Did either one of you guys see the video of Frittata slamming the belt?
Slamming it. What do you mean?
Yeah, right when, and it really says something about what the UFC wanted to happen here. Right when McGregor knocked out Aldo, you see right to the ringside, one of the Frittata brothers takes the belt and holds it above his head and slams it on the table or on the ground.
Why? I think they wanted McGregor.
I mean, you watch his video, it tells you a whole different story. At least he didn't.
If it's even exactly how you showed it, it's reading into it.
Yeah, it is because...
But he also could have been upset...
It could be anything. It's too much.
If you watch the video,
you say we can't discuss this.
If you watch the video, it really makes you wonder what it is. I'm not saying what it wasn't, but it really makes you go, "Wow, he's pretty upset at how this." And maybe he was upset the fight was over super quick and wanted a longer fight.
All these people paid all this money, but I feel that like that fight could not have gone better for the UFC. I mean,
it would have gone better if he did a long one.
A war
that McGregor won. Yeah.
Okay, real quick. So we all like Edgar. I'd like to see that fight happen.
Apparently, that's the next thing coming down the pipes.
What, McGregor versus Edgar?
Yes, sir.
But Edgar, but they're saying that he's going to fight the winner of Cerrone. Cerrone versus Dos Santos.
I'm sorry, you're right. I mean, in that weight class.
Yeah.
In that weight class, because otherwise he's going to have to give up his belt.
Here's
he wants to have two belts.
Well,
here's
Edgar
the thing.
Wants to fight in Madison Square Garden.
So Edgar could fight Holloway from Hawaii. Winner of that gets Conor McGregor. If he wants to have another fight and he doesn't want to wait that long.
Here's how I feel about 145. That McGregor did, he did what he had to. He cleared it out. He got Mendez. He got Aldo. But there's the only question left is Edgar.
Edgar. Right.
So like we haven't really cleaned out the division. You just won a couple big fights.
Right.
So if then you beat Edgar, Holloway, fine. That might be a good win. But like that's no one's saying, oh, you're ducking Holloway. But
right.
Edgar's a guy who like...
Right.
But right if, so if you really want to clean it out and then go to 55, Edgar's the guy.
Right.
If Edgar...
But I also think Aldo deserves a title shot again, like right away. It's like when the Golden State just lost their first game.
That is an interesting throw.
Yep.
He just showed it.
What?
I just showed him a video of him slamming that. I'll tweet it.
It.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now.
email.
It could be interesting. If Edgar wants to fight again, because that's how you make your money is fighting. If you don't fight, you don't eat, you know?
Yeah, but right now, whoever, if he does fight, he'd be fighting for the title. If he gives up the title to go to 55, then Edgar versus Aldo or Edgar versus Holloway would be for the title.
Okay, I'm with you on
now,
that
one. I think Aldo. What do you guys think? I mean, if you've been a champion that long and you lose, definitely if you lose like BJ Penn on a questionable decision, you should get a rematch. But like Anderson Silva get a rematch, Ronda Rousey's getting a rematch.
Yeah, everybody's talking about that, how it's very disrespectful that he's not getting a rematch. And I think he deserves it.
Yeah, that's what John, you see John Jones said that.
Yeah, I agree with him.
He hasn't lost in 10. When Golden State lost their first game, they didn't drop off number one in the power ranking.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, dude. You know, I think he deserves a fight.
Aldo moved down to 6, I read this morning. Connor at 3.
That's ridiculous.
Connor's at 3. Aldo down to 6.
Pound for pound?
Pound for pound. Mighty Mouse 1.
Oh, okay. I disagree. Pound for pound.
I think you agree with that, but I still think John Jones is the greatest to do it. And they stripped him. I don't give a fuck. Well, he's been reinstated, and he should be number one.
Well, I think we're probably a couple, you know, within this year, I think we're going to see him climb right back to number one.
Kane fights Verdum. If Kane beats Verdum, those three guys, all from the same camp, have three titles, and they're all best friends.
The heavyweight is just – it's just – crazy heavyweight in MMA with those gloves on.
Back and forth. Heavyweight's always been the most competitive.
Yep. It's just you know, there's so much behind that leather. It's like getting hit with an anvil. That you want to talk about a puncher's chance? Look at that heavyweight division where it's like anybody can get clipped.
Anybody can
and
get
you get
clipped.
Clipped by a 245-pound guy. I don't care who you are.
Right.
I do see what Aldo's saying. It's like, I mean, he caught me, but that's not a judge of who's the better fighter.
Well, there was some, you know, one thing I love about Rogan is he's very self-aware. I mean, he's very self-aware when he's, and you know, who am I to say anything about, you know, I love Rogan, but when he says something, and he'll sit back on, he has no problem with apologizing for it. So there was this big problem with Aldo, and we haven't even gotten to the fight. Do we want to discuss this?
Let's keep going. I mean, we've got 50 minutes.
I mean, but do we want to get into the fight and then talk about all the Aldo stuff once we get there, or do we want to jump back and forth?
No, like, let's say finish your point.
Back and forth, whenever it comes up.
So, you know, after the fight, you know, the interpreter said it wasn't much of a fight. And Rogan goes, no, it was definitely a fight. You know, and blah blah blah. Were you in? You know, with all the disrespect you got, and later, Rogan. And I, when he said that, I was like, ooh,
yeah.
It's a weird way to talk to somebody who's
because he's not gonna let him go. It wasn't even a fight. I just injured myself. He's like, come on, man. I mean, you got knocked out. You went into it.
Right. But it was the combination. Oh, it was a fight, and you got disrespected. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm saying stuff like Rogan does something I could never understand. We're like. You literally have to analyze every word you say before it comes out because everything is amplified, you know? So he says that, and later he comes back, and he goes, you know, I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. And it wasn't Rogan's fault. And it wasn't Aldo's fault. It really was the interpreter who was probably doing the best he could. He basically surmised what he was saying, but it was a completely wrong. He didn't say it wasn't much of a fight. He goes, that went really fast. It was too fast. I would like to have another fight, which is a totally different thing to say. There wasn't much of a fight. Yes. It was a fight. You got knocked the fuck out.
I think it would be funny to be an interpreter that just has a beef with Joe Rogan, but like your fighter doesn't know it. Where he's like, he says in like, you know, in whatever language he speaks, and he's like, it was a great fight. It's great to be here. I'm just a big fan of MMA, and I'm glad I got this opportunity. And he's like, yeah, man, he says you can go fuck yourself. And then he's just standing there smiling like, eh.
What I always found funny, and I always wanted to do a video of it, is like how they tried to match the voice to the face. Like, you know, like the interpreter always tries to sound how the guy looks, you know? Like they would never do like a big black guy and then have like a Hello Kitty voice. Hello.
Yeah.
I just want to hang out.
Right.
I just really want to fight this guy and I want to kill him. You know, like they always try to match it up. So that's the whole thing. I agree with you. Aldo should get a rematch. He deserves it. When you're a 10-year champ, you haven't lost in 10 years, and you're the only guy who has had that belt, you deserve a rematch.
Well,
the problem is it's only fought 3 times in the last.
That is a problem, and you wonder how much of that is ring rust and how much of that. I mean, I don't want to say it was a lucky shot,
But
no, it wasn't lucky.
It wasn't lucky at all. But he calls it all the time.
It's not lucky when you call it.
He calls it all the time.
No, but he calls how he's going to do it. And he's going. Yeah. Let's get into the other fights real quick. Jacare Souza. Oh, no, Paige VanZant loses. Speaking of chicks who get pushed to the front.
Yep.
You know, it's like.
Had she been ugly? Had she not been an attractive person?
Which I still fight.
Do you think the UFC pushes her right to the front of that line as much as they have?
And they put her deep. And it's just like.
Because
you know,
she got dealt with.
You call that fighting?
She got dealt with.
That's 115. You know what I call that? Stick figure violence. That's what that is. A bunch of stick figures fighting.
That was a great fight if you watched that fight. I mean, that was a lot of MMA, a lot of getting out of locks, a lot of attempts at submissions, a lot of good submission defense. I mean, that wasn't just a couple chicks pulling each other's hair and screaming in a Burger King.
That was literally like Jesus Christ versus the trailer park. Like, Rose is straight from a trailer park.
Yep.
She has trailer park vibe.
I like her.
I've met a million people like that growing up. I'm like, that girl's straight from a trailer park.
That is every
I
chick from my hometown.
I love trailer park trash in the UFC.
I do too, dude.
And like, all the shitty tattoos, the whiteness. That guy, that grappler guy. It was like, wow, you are trash.
And they made a decision. They had three options. Drug dealer, porn star, MMA fighter. Yep. That's what they're picking.
I mean, Roy Nelson, look, I mean, if that guy isn't sitting outside of a trailer with a gun and a beer in his hand, he's an MMA fighter.
Smoking meth.
No, but I like the guys who have the bodies of bum fights people.
Oh, me too, dude.
Dude, if that's not Roy Nelson, I mean, that guy, oh, you mean like real AIDS-y fucking meth
like
bodies?
Yeah, like the skin is kind of methy falling off their bone.
Yeah.
But not fat, just
Yeah. I like that too. So I thought that fight was interesting. I mean, I'll tell you something, man. In that loss, I gained a shitload of respect for Paige VanZant. I mean, like,
toughness.
She could have gotten fucking tapped out a million fucking times.
She showed a lot
of
toughness.
You know what, man? I think she got more from that loss than if she would have just went through and won really quickly.
Yes.
I think people are like, okay, you are a legit MMA fighter. You got housed, hammered, battered, didn't give up, and it wasn't to the very end that you tapped. I think she gains more. And if I was UFC, I would still be pushing her. If you think that because she's hot and everybody wants her, that gets her a lot more credit than if she had just plowed through this chick.
I think, and to your point, which I think is a great point, I think in this sport, there are a lot of things that you can come up against where if you take a loss or if you get beat, you can learn a lot more than you do getting an easy win.
Right.
And you get almost how Rousey. I think Rousey could come back from this a much better fighter. I think that about Weidman. I think Weidman can come back a much better fighter. He made a lot of big mistakes in that fight, if you ask my opinion.
Yeah, I did too.
By the way, are you seeing anybody telling Chris Weidman, get up, you can do it. Don't give up now, Chris Weidman. You can do it.
You mean today?
That was his first loss.
You mean
guess
today?
Guess what? Because they respect him as a fighter, and they don't respect Ronda Rousey as the fighter. They respect her as a little girl.
Yeah.
So they think she's going to quit. No part of them thinks, oh, that's just a fighter. They think that's a girl who's doing fighting. And it's like, of course she's going to get up. What are you talking about? That's her job.
The best part of this, dude, is how both those champions lost their belts, and they fucking sat in there and fucking did the post-fight interview, gave respect to the other guy, ate fucking crow,
you should.
Said they're going to come fucking back. And that girl ran the fuck out, and I just think it just shows. I mean, you had people's life. You had people who were undefeated, shattered that they're not going to end their careers undefeated. Paige VanZant fucking went to that fucking post fight conference, admitted she lost, said she got beat, cried in it. You know, and I'm like, hey, man, I respect that because that your world is completely different than when you started that fight.
Sure.
Same thing with Chris Weidman.
He's the life of a fighter to me.
Hey, man, he would talk about how he was going to fucking end his career undefeated. He's not anymore. He sat in there battered, I mean, just battered, and said, hey, man, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to come back. Much respect.
I think you can be defined a lot as a fighter, and especially in MMA, with how you handle a loss versus how you handle a fucking slow pitch softball gimme victory.
I totally
before
exactly.
you get
it's
before
like,
you
oh,
get served
Ronda
up a can.
Other people don't want to fight. It's what a champion. It's like adversity. Let's see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do when you're fucking Jordan and you're 2 for 17 for a game? Do you still take the final shot? He did.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. That's your job.
Real quick, I want to get into the fight where I lost my parlay on. I'm trying to find the exact.
Yeah, Tripoli shows up to watch a fight.
Wait, what did Ronda Rousey say in her after she lost in the post fight interview?
plugged a bunch of movies coming out. And
no,
a couple,
she ran
no, I'm
out.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
She ran out. She never did it. She didn't give an interview. She just gave her first interview 3 weeks after.
Oh, by the way, that those interviews by whatever her name is, Sherborne, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
About Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
It's all conjecture. It's no actual quotes from Ronda Rousey. It's just a picture of the outside of her house saying she doesn't want to go out right now.
Yeah.
It's so great how they're building her into this thing that she's not even being herself. They're just making
her
into
ESPN something. Is a flaming bag of dog shit.
Dude, it's Okay, let's think about this because it does suck now.
It's awful.
It's with all the videos, too, the 15-second videos,
dude,
the 14-second
first take is that Mexican chick they got is smoking hot. Smoking hot, but she just sits there and just those two yell at each other. She brings nothing to the. I mean, she is smoking hot. If you've ever saw like this fucking fat chick who this comic bitch about chicks and comedy, go look at that girl on First Take. She is there because one, she's a chick, two, she's hot. She brings, she never has any point of view, and she has no, even Carly Champion or Carrie Champion, who was the black chick who did it, she had a point. But she's like, as soon as they gave her an out of there, she got off that fucking show. ESPN is horrible. It's just, let's do a channel of sports for fucking just women. And you've alienated your entire fucking base.
The base that built that.
Yeah.
The base that built that up. And your point, Ari, I love too, because this makes me nuts. Because it's the worst kind of clickbait. Where it's like, hey, watch watch this dunk by Blake Griffin. And maybe I missed the Clipper game. And I'm like, oh, shit, Blake posterized somebody. I got to watch a 45-second Hyundai commercial to watch a 7-second dunk.
Oh,
and
you
can't fast-forward it. And guess what never freezes? A fucking minute-long Hyundai commercial.
Yeah.
And then I load up a 7-second clip, and it freezes in the middle of it.
Oh, unbelievable.
And if you want to replay it, if you want to say, oh, let me see that again. Watch a commercial again.
Yeah,
I want to make this very clear. I want to make this very clear so all of those people know. When that happens, I take my headphones off and I turn my phone upside down and I don't even know what you're trying to sell me. And I periodically glimpse at it and look at it to see if your bullshit commercial is over.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny is like you watch commercials or in content. They will not say anything offensive because they don't want to piss off chicks because they don't want chicks to go to the store going, okay, what kind of cereal I got? Oh, you remember that stupid commercial, Fruity Pebbles? I'm not buying you. I'm going to buy Lucky Charms. They don't give a shit about what guys think. They're like, oh, we're going to shove this commercial down your fucking throat. I don't want to watch that Honda. Guess who's not going to ever buy a Honda? You know, we don't give a shit because whatever your girlfriend wants, you're going to buy her because you don't want to piss her the fuck off.
NFL.com is just as bad, if not worse.
Yep.
NFL.com, you can go, hey,
so where can we go? Where
here's
can
all
we
the go? Highlights from the game. I got to watch a commercial before each one.
I don't know.
No, I'm saying. So, like, okay, ESPN is starting to suck, and it's not going to get any better.
I'll tell you what I like, Art. I'll tell you what I like is Bleacher Report. If you go to Bleacher Report and get that app, you can literally click Falcons, Cubs, Clippers, MMA, boxing, and put all your favorite sports in, and it feeds your news that way. And I can just scroll down and see what happened during the day and click on scores, and I don't have to listen to some fucking story about a six-year-old handicapped kid that gets put in a goddamn basketball game and shoots 37 three-pointers in a 97-18 blowout until he finally hits one, and everyone acts like he's going pro! He has one hand. He can't play defense. I don't want to cry when I'm looking up sports scores.
I love it. So let's get into. I don't know where you're gonna go. I don't know where you're gonna go, dude. I really don't know where you're gonna go.
What about the Weidman fight? Let's talk about this.
Can I get really just briefly into that Jacare Souza? Romero fight?
Oh, Yoel. Yoel.
Yoel. Now, here's the thing.
I thought that was a bad decision.
I did, too. Here's the thing, though. It's a game of fucking inches. It really is a game of inches, dude. I mean, you look at these guys. Two knockdowns, one knockout of a cock. Just a little cock where... A little cock. Where Romero, then, in that small window, spin elbows, hits him...
Was it a back fist? It was a back fist. Yeah.
Knocks out. Just a little cock. Just a little bam. Same thing with Aldo. Just this little mini cock back, and boom, gets caught. It's a game of fucking milliseconds.
And I also
where
think...
you and I could never get anything in that time.
Yep.
These guys are so elite. It's like this little thing. Romero's is going to start being seen as a cheater. I think from that grabbing the fence, the one he got up against Tim
that
Kennedy,
was crazy. That
three
been
or four,
off.
Three
that
or four times.
Been a point.
He literally was saying it while he was doing it, and he just did it again.
The fence and just whatever, and it doesn't do anything. You get a warning, absolutely. Yep.
But the warning should be, don't do that.
It negated a takedown.
Trying to take you down and expending all this energy to take you down as you're holding a fence. That's like, listen, that wasn't an accident.
And if I
was to gain an advantage, not say, oh, well, you're on top, so I'm going to take that advantage away from you. You're only on top because you held the fence.
Yep. I totally agree with that.
Of course you stand the mud. It doesn't matter where you landed,
and if
whether he's on top or the bottom.
Yep.
You cheated, you get a point.
Yep. And if I'm going to get a takedown and you and position control, take you down right into side control or something like that, that changes the fight. And if you prevent, it's like a pass interference in football. If you clean my clock in the end zone on a 47-yard bomb and they go, well, that's a warning for you, that would have been a game-winning touchdown.
Yep,
I get the ball at the one.
Yep.
It's first down and throw some more time on the clock.
Yeah. If it's an offensive holding, let's say, and you hit a 45-yard pass on it, you don't go, okay, tell you what, that was a holding, but since you hit the pass, I'm going to take the pass away from you. I'm going to repeat the first down. Like, no. It's a 10-yard penalty.
I totally agree.
And it's second down now still.
I totally agree.
It's second and 20. It's not first and goal.
Yeah, I thought – but for me, if you would have gotten that, if you would have deducted a point, I think it would have been a draw.
No. Split decision. It would have been the other way.
It would have gone the other way?
I think so.
Because a bunch of judges gave a 10-8 for that first round.
No, nobody gave a 10-8.
No, look at it, dude. They got 10-8.
I will right now.
Okay, look it up.
Right. No, I'm less sure.
I don't recall if it was 10-8, but there was one score where I was like, ooh, that seems lopsided to me. That seems a little more lopsided. I was pretty confident that Jacare won that fight. You know,
me too.
I was watching it with you, and we're standing there.
I thought
he
lost the first round. I thought because of the warning, he should have taken the second round because he was doing more. And then third round, he just dominated him.
Yep.
So I felt he won the I couldn't believe they gave.
And
that's
I really
why
feel
I think
like,
he got a 10-8.
I really
oh,
feel
yeah.
like.
29-27, 28-29, 29-28.
Yep, that 29-27.
So 28-27. He would have won the first one, draw on the second one, and lost in the third one. Yeah, it would have been a split decision.
Yeah.
I just think that you know, if it's you and I in the octagon, and I get five takedowns in one round, and then you clip me with a spinning back fist a little bit later, they weigh that knockdown so much more than five takedowns.
Right.
And to me, methodically, five takedowns take so much more, and it really shows consistency and my ability to control the octagon.
Yes.
And then, I'm not saying it was a luck, a spinning back fist. You know, you got to get your head turned first. You got to see the target. There's a lot of things that go into it. But there is a little bit of luck involved in that thing hitting the sweet spot and dropping me. There is a little bit of a Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
And they weigh that so much more than five takedowns to me.
Because a lot of them are boxing coaches and boxing judges. What do you guys, real quick before we get into the next one, the Damian Maia versus, what's his name, Hunter, whatever his name is?
Well, I'm glad to see Damian Maia bounce back from me making fun of him in my special a couple specials ago.
You made fun of him in the special?
Do you think that was a big factor, Ari?
I think it was
Gunnar Nelson.
How much did
Joe Rogan love that jiu-jitsu match? I'm like,
oh my god.
He's like, oh my god, this is such high level jiu-jitsu.
He was definitely
the
rock
flow.
Hard.
It was almost like he was like a judge on Dancing with the Stars. He's like, look at the motion. Look at them just smooth into this technique. Oh, I rolled into that technique. It was like clean up aisle five.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's pants.
There are some of those fights where it really is setting up to be a really technical fight.
That
or
was
a, big
a
strike.
Technical fight.
Where you
that
can
was
hear,
the most jiu-jitsu fight I've ever seen in the UFC.
You can hear Rogan ripping a condom open.
And he moves off and he's like, no, you're not going anywhere. And he just grabs him. It's the same thing as the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yep.
Where that guy would just not get – you expect him to go, okay, now let's fight. He goes, no. As soon as you get off me, I'm just fucking grabbing you, holding an ankle, and just wouldn't give him any space.
There is
he
a level.
Staying on his back.
Yeah, that guy – and that kid is a much better martial artist than the other guy who's in Conor's camp who just holds his arm. Dude, that's cool on the Ultimate Fighter. You're going to go in the UFC, and you're going to have your arms down, and you're going to meet a guy who kicks as fast as he punches.
Yep.
And you are going to get housed. The notion, I cannot believe they let him walk with his arms down. It's like, dude, and I know you're trying to entice people to do something, but dude, you're going to walk into a fight with a guy who can take a punch,
yep,
and you're going to punch him, nothing, and your arms are going to be down, and he is going to GSP roundhouse kick you in the head, straight and up. You're going to go sleep.
Yep.
That was the thing about GSP that was so amazing, how quickly he can fucking kick.
Oh yeah,
he kicks as fast as he punches.
I was very impressed with Rockhold's kicking.
So
I mean, everybody knows he's a big kicker, but that little question mark kick that he has, where it comes up looking like a front kick, and then he hooks it around towards your head. He threw that five or six times, and every time the quickness that he threw that with, and his body kicks clearly were affecting Weidman. Those kicks to the body were definitely affecting Weidman.
No.
How do you have to shit again?
All right, Ari. I don't want to watch it. I know.
Or maybe
like
he's just
walk.
Pissing.
I know you like the water.
He's just pissing. This is fine. Okay. Ari, I can't see any piss coming out, though.
Listen, I'm not.
There we go.
But you know this doesn't go on air, right?
It's like he's milking a cow.
This is just literally for you.
Yeah, this is just for me.
This is literally just for you.
You look like you have that looks like a cow's udder. Even how you piss, you don't even hold your, most guys hold their dick to piss. You're milking it like a cow.
Real quick, before we get in our next fights, our good friend James, who runs our Twitter account, who gets a lot of shit on this show constantly. Yeah. First of all,
you're right, but it's time to give it up when it's time to give it up.
That tweet he put out,
spin,
just got fucking huge traction.
And he put it out right at the right time.
To make it so big.
What?
Wait, turn the thing back. Who retweeted it first to make it so big?
I don't know. There was a bunch of verifieds on it, but literally, dude, if you do the analytics, it was seen by 140,000 people.
Zounds.
And it got 1,000 retweets. And
We're going to get 9 extra listeners.
This week. That's actually what I was saying, too. So we're going to give out for James. James has been going through a lot. He recently lost his stepdad. So, you know, show him some love on Twitter. We appreciate all he does. And man, he put it out and it just... I can't believe they didn't take it down because of the video, but bam, bam, bam. It got. I mean, dude, I know, Ari, you get a lot of retweets. What's the most retweets you've ever gotten on one thing?
3 for me.
Check right now. I think it's like 500.
Dude, this
not that.
This got 11,000 retweets. Excuse me, 1,100. 1,100 retweets. And that was from James. Shout out to James. James also wants recognition that he called Rockhold and Connor over like 2 years ago or a year ago.
Everybody, it's just like I was saying the other week. Everybody, no matter what happens in a fight, you always got those, I told you so. I don't remember. Okay, sure, maybe you did. Who gives a fuck?
Bro, told you. Who called it? I called it.
Come on.
Darryl
I lost
Lodge.
Money for the first time. I went to BetDSI and I lost money for the first time.
Sam
fight.
Had so the craziest bet going. I was so excited.
Dude, do you know I don't even want to talk about it, but it's like I showed up. There was $1,100 in my account.
That's because of the magic of BetDSI.com.
There was
$1,100. You won it?
I'd won it at some point and I forgot about it and I went there. So I spent $200 betting these fights.
And,
so I lost them. But man, I was looking good.
You had like 3 more things you needed to happen, and then you would have hit
I had 3 out of 5.
You had $100 parlay to make $3,000.
$3,000.
The first 2 things happened Friday night.
Yes.
And you got those right, so you were going into Saturday.
And then just
and
that
you needed,
fucking bullshit call.
You needed Romero to lose.
Yes.
Which I think that he did.
So I could have won that. Then Rockhold won,
then
and I called that.
And you picked Rockhold.
Because on here, I called it. I said Rockhold. I think you guys, I don't know. Who'd you guys pick?
I went with Weidman.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting fight because, you know, everyone's like, he should get a rematch. And Darryl LaMontre, who loves Weidman, he's like, he's a special fighter. Yeah, you were very Weidman, too. And I don't hate Weidman. I actually like Weidman as a fighter.
After watching this fight, I'm like, wow, he really does have a lot of things to work on, but I think that there's been why he quit shooting, why he quit wrestling.
I think that was his problem and that.
Why? I mean, in that first round, man, he was shooting and he was getting on, doing a lot of that. Was really working that good. And then he's like, I'm going to stand and bang with this guy.
Right.
And that was a big mistake because striking-wise,
he had Rockhold tired. And I thought there was like, oh, he could take this over if he would have just taken him down. And then he did that spin kick and
which
it was
not
dumb.
His game. That's not his
game. I don't
game.
Know why you would do... Because, dude, Weidman was exhausted, too.
I think those body kicks from Rockhold to Weidman really took its toll a lot more than we were hearing.
Rockhold,
as
I like to call it, giant Brian Callen.
It was weird to see Weidman just be like, oh, and the fourth, he's like, I just don't have it left. I'm surprised I lasted the third, which I'm glad they didn't stop that, by the way. I'm real glad they didn't stop that.
A lot of times with that, I think it's like, oh, man, we're under 18 seconds.
Well, he was defending. You saw him doing.
He was deflecting a lot of them. They were glancing.
But I also think
a lot were getting in, too.
I also think if there was 2.5 minutes left in that round, that might have been stopped.
Oh, that would have been stopped.
I mean, there's 18 seconds left, and the ref looks at the clock, and he's like, unless he gets really clipped right here, I think he can finish this out.
Yeah. The ref started looking at, like, 40 seconds left, and he was like, okay, I'm going to last this out. And then he goes, you better start defending a little
bit.
That
was about as close as it can get without that being stopped. And again, if there was 90 seconds left in that fight instead of 18, I think he might have stopped.
I wonder if Weidman would have just balled up, though. Because when Rocco got on top of him and he was, like, looking for, like, arms and, like, how to do whatever, he didn't realize that for a little while, Weidman was like, oh, no, I'm done for the round.
Yeah.
And so it took him a second to realize, like, oh, he's not even going to try to struggle or fight back. And then he's like... Then let me rain down blows.
You just saw monster elbows. I mean,
yeah, that straight on one too. That straight down right in between the guard of him, just trying to protect himself.
These guys could have wars. I mean, and you could see another fight. And I think we'll go the same. But I could easily see Weidman taking that. Now you got a third fight. The problem is that Weidman's arms, though long for a normal human being, is short compared to Rockhold's. Rockhold is long.
I think we're going to see a new and improved in 2016 Chris Weidman. You know, will he get the belt back in 2016? I don't know. But I think he's going to fight.
He's probably going to have to fight Jacare Souza.
I think he's going to have a little bit different of a game coming back.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
they're going to do that. Two guys, both lost massive fights. So now if you fight them against each other, sure, one's right back into the mix, but the other is way out.
Yeah, one's done. So whoever loses that is in deep shit.
I think that's what happened to who's the guy that wore the mouthpiece that had the fangs on? What was this guy's name?
You
know what I'm talking about, Sam?
The Russian.
Oh, Andrei Arlovski.
I think that happened to Arlovski. I mean, remember he had that four-fight loss in a row? And everyone's like, he's done. He fought four really competitive people and happened to lose. And then he gets back and he starts to win all these four or five in a row. And, you know, now he's back for a title contention in that conversation again. And you're like, man, I thought he was done. Well, you thought he was done because in MMA, people see three losses in a row as you're fucking done and your career is over.
I don't think it should be like that. I think if you have great competitive fights, you fight.
I just saw a stat. There's seven fighters who have lost four fights in a row in the UFC.
Covering what time span.
Well, the reason I say that is because, you might still be on the roster, but that doesn't mean you're relevant. What he's talking about is whether you're still relevant or not.
If you're fighting
super high-end fights, you know, it's like you might lose to – if you're fighting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you might lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And two or three of those fights
might be you the fifth best fighter at that weight class.
And two or three of those might be split decisions. Now, if you're getting knocked out in the first round five fights in a row, I might be like, yeah, man, you've taken a little too much damage. You might be a little bit old. But if you lose three of those five fights, one to a submission and four of them to a split decision – to me, you're still relevant, and I don't see anything wrong from dropping from 4 to 10 and then working your way back up to 3.
Yep. I totally agree with that, dude. I totally agree with that.
And now the culture is even a little more difficult because everybody has this preconceived notion that, oh, someone's got to be undefeated. Oh, the champ was 8-0 and they lost, so now fuck them.
Now, Rockhold wants to fight, what's his name? The guy who's juicing forever.
Jeez, Barry Bonds?
No, what's his name from Brazil?
Vitor Belfort.
He wants to fight him because he lost that fight with the roundhouse kick.
When
and all
he
that
was
shit.
Allegedly juiced on that
Which
fight.
Which he was juicing. There's no alleged. He was. Sure. He's been busted. But I don't want to see that fight. I want to see this guy. I think.
Who do you want to see him fight?
Well, I would like to see him. I mean, I wouldn't mind a Weidman fight again. I mean, like, I know he got kind of worked.
No.
But then there's Romero. Now, Romero would be very interesting because Romero will give him a good fight for a round. And then next round, I don't think Romero could get away with the shit that he did with Jacare Souza and even Tim Kennedy. against Rockhold. I think Rockhold is – I think Rockhold's a very special fighter, and I think he's just that guy that's just a next-level athlete that like, you could clip Rockhold. I mean, obviously, Belfort did that. He clipped him.
No, Romero's getting the shot. That was a title limited.
I'd like to see that fight, and I think Romero's in deep shit. I don't think he's
Have they said that that's the next fight?
I think so.
It was a title limited.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Okay. Well, then, you know, then that's cut and dry, and we know what's up. I think Rockhold wins that fight.
Aldo moved to third behind Frankie Edgar in that weight class. And in this one, Weidman moves to second in the weight class. Romero's third. But I still think Romero gets a shot.
I do, too. Who's won?
What?
Jacare Souza?
No, who's won? No.
I thought it goes champion for... So champion's ranked one. Okay, I got you.
Okay, I got you.
All right.
So Weidman drops from one to two?
Yeah.
By the way,
from
Weidman
one to
drops
three.
From one to two.
Okay. Okay.
Weidman's two, Aldo's three in his thing.
And then it goes, and then in the other one, it's...
Romero, then Vitor.
But I'm saying it's Connor one, Edgar two.
Yeah, Edgar was two, now he stays two. They flip flopped around.
Okay,
I got you. Okay,
yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Let's get into this fight that was shocking. When that happened, everybody was just like, "What the fuck just happened?"
First of all, I was extremely disappointed as a fan that I didn't get to see a war. I wanted this to go a few rounds. I wanted to see some striking. I really was excited to see what McGregor would do with that kind of BJJ and that kind of striking coming at him. I feel like it was a Super Bowl and the lights went out and they never turned them back on. You know, I showed up with a boner and I left with a boner.
What was I wanted to know what was Aldo's record? I think it was like 24-1 or 2 or something like that. It was a crazy thing. Such a seasoned vet. And you like you see him
25-2 now. He's 25-2 now.
Yep. Okay, so he's 25-1
going into that. Never lost in the UFC. Only person to ever have that belt. Nobody's ever owned this thing but him.
Yeah.
You know, you hate to see somebody go out like that.
It's like you watch him and I'm like, dude, he's in mentally not good places. Like, you were watching, I know, Ari, you kind of wanted to talk, maybe, well, you didn't want to talk about, but, like, this snitching shit where the audio was released of Rogan. And everyone's arguing whether it's Rogan. It's like, you talk to Rogan long enough, you know that's Rogan.
Yeah.
And
he didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he said anything wrong. He was just saying everybody was thinking. Like, this guy is, like, scared.
Now, so in case anybody's listening to this, they don't know what you're talking about. Explain what you're talking about with Rogan's audio being released.
There was an audio leak of, you know, when who's the guy in Buffer is introducing something? Their mics are obviously cut off, you know, so Buffer can do the introductions.
Yeah,
but they're still talking to the truck.
Yeah, they're still recording audio.
And they're like, Rogan, how's he looking there? And Rogan's like, he doesn't look good, dude. He does not look good. He looks like he's scared. I think I'm paraphrasing it like a horrible interpreter, translator, but he looks scared. And I agree with that.
My thing is. It's that there's a that's fine. It's fine for him to say that. He's an analyst.
Right.
If he was on the air, he should say that.
Yeah.
If he was off the air, definitely no problem. My problem is who's fucking snitching? Who's like, ooh, he might have said something he wasn't supposed to. Let me tell everybody.
Who gets their hands on that audio and then can release it, you know, covertly?
I don't know how the UFC is interpreting this. If they could interpret it as who the fuck did that? Somebody's losing their job. It's probably the guy running the board. Just like the guy who released the audio of Christian Bale going nuts on the set. That guy, I was talking to somebody, he can't get work anymore. Nobody's hiring him.
Yeah, you want a guy like that around when you can't trust that you're going to be able to be free and say what you want, do what you want.
100%.
So now I got to come in and go, hello, everybody. I'm saying nothing wrong. I'm doing nothing wrong. That's the world you want to live in. That's what you're hoping for. When you snitch on people when they're not doing it. Whistleblowing is a different thing. Whistleblowing is like someone's being hurt.
There's an injustice and you're calling it out.
Paying overtime to your employees. You're clocking them out early. Like being this. That's fucking – we need to correct the wrong. If it's just like your idea of what someone should say or shouldn't say –
Well, it's this thing with these chicks now. Like, it's a TMZ thing. TMZ's made snitching good. And you see with women, we're like, they get paid to fuck a guy in a weird way, and they just run to TMZ and they tell him. And it's like, well, first of all, you should give him his money back. Not only is he paying you for pussy, half that money is going for silence. When you take that money to fucking do weird shit, you're agreeing, I ain't gonna talk about this. And all you, and I know they don't listen to this podcast, but all you attention whores out there, if you want to make more money, keep a fucking secret. Keep a secret.
Yep.
You know, I always talk to young girls all the time. They're like, oh, you're just going to tell anybody. I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
I know I get to hear more of this when I don't tell anybody what I'm hearing.
Yep.
Exactly. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
And whoever gave that, I don't know if the UFC's angry at that. But if someone could lose their job, it's probably the guy running the board. I mean, even if he
someone
didn't
should,
do it.
Because so what you're hoping for is for Rogan and Mike Goldberg and anyone else who has a mic in front of them to just sit there and be quiet the entire time
and not have a conversation.
And then when you actually have their banter in between them, it'll be stunted.
Right. Yeah.
And then here's another thing that people don't realize. It's like Rogan and Buffer and Goldie are huge fans of this sport. And that's why they're great at commentating it. And if Sam and I are sitting ringside and we're watching this and we see Aldo standing there looking down and having this kind of look on his face like a baby that just smelled his own fart for the first time.
He's a fan.
And I go, I turn to Sam, who I'm enjoying the fight with, and I go, man, look at Aldo. He doesn't even look like Aldo right now. Doesn't he kind of look scared?
Yeah.
And Sam's like, yeah, dude, I don't know, man. He doesn't look like himself. What's wrong with saying that as a fan watching the game? Every single person that looked at that, we were in a bar full of people, Sam and I at the Comedy Store. Every person in the room was kind of having that conversation. Don Barris, everybody was going, man, that guy looks kind of scared right now.
Yeah.
And Sam and I were like, yeah, man, I haven't seen him kind of make that. This doesn't look like him.
I mean, he didn't look up at all. He didn't look up at all.
You know who he reminded me of? When Michael Spinks fought Tyson that once.
100%.
And he had that look like, man, I don't want to be here for this.
Oh, yeah.
I want to take my beating and go home and cash my check.
It's so interesting because, like, your life is is the job of taking a beating. And it's just like...
His life has been a job of giving beatings.
Yeah, but
and this
even,
is the first time he thought he might
he
take
fights.
One.
I mean, like, in your sparring, you're getting hit.
Sure.
By... Maybe not the best word, but you're training with some elite dudes.
Correct.
It's just weird, man.
Do you guys, do either of you think, and I know everybody's been talking about this, and to an extent I'm sick of hearing about it, but, you know, it does warrant a conversation. Do you think all of the mind games and the extra 9 months, because he didn't fight the first time, he got 9 more months of psychological warfare?
Yeah.
Do you think that 100%. Factored into this
yes.
at all?
Yes.
Ari?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't you think so?
The way he was at the weigh-ins, just mocking him back, like it just seemed like...
Wasn't it night and day from him at the weigh-ins? Aldo looked incredibly confident.
And I said, man, that's interesting, man. I think he's engaged
Aldo
right now.
Had to come back at him. Aldo was like, wait, oh, you're coming at me?
You mean Connor
like
said that.
Tito
Connor
always
said
great
that.
Lines, and if somebody shot a line back at him, he was like, oh, I can't think on the fly. I wrote this ahead of time.
Yes, there is that. That is true. He did always do that.
Yeah, and I thought, that's why I thought, okay, Aldo's interesting. I felt, you know, Aldo did the exact same thing that Ronda Rousey did, which was buy into this fucking hype of that, you know, they played to the one way they could lose instead of sitting back and playing to their strengths, which for me is Aldo sitting back and just hammer leg, which is how he's taken down so many people before.
Correct.
To yeah, run into where this guy's got farther reach, and for Ronda Rousey to
he
run
connected
in.
On that left, though. Make no right. doubt about it. He did connect on that left.
Clipped,
he sure did.
Yeah, they've made a too big a deal of that. They're like, oh, and he connected after he got knocked out. It's like, all right, it doesn't mean it would have done anything.
I mean, cut him.
And also, here's
he
the
opened
thing.
Up a pre-existing cut.
Said. When you see a fight end real fast like that, you really aren't getting a good judge of who is the best fighter.
I agree.
But if it lasts more than a full minute, once the fighters get their distances down,
right.
That's when you actually get a long, good fight.
Right.
We just didn't see that.
Right.
We didn't see them get their distances down.
I
they
totally,
were just like feeling each other out.
I
and
wish.
It was over before. Instead of like, oh shit, that was a close one. Let me get out. Let me not only kick. There
I
was
do.
No chance. It was a lights out.
I would like to see him try to take it a little slower. Yep. That's just my – he ran in. To a guy who has longer reach.
And a great counterpuncher.
It was your second exchange.
What?
It was your second exchange. It wasn't the first exchange.
Right, but he did push forward. I mean, like, you're talking like second exchange. Boom, boom. boom, coming in, dude. You know, like, that's almost running in. It's not right in. It's like push, push,
I mean,
push.
You can count all the exchanges. You can count all the exchanges you want. It was still 13 seconds. I do, as a fan, feel like a guy who waited over a year for this fucking fight to finally happen. And I feel like a guy who walked into a whorehouse with a wallet full of 20s and a boner and left with no 20s and still a boner.
Yeah, dude, you got to take care of that boner, dog. You got to take care of that boner. Yeah, I thought it was crazy. I mean, the thing about Connor is, like, he just seems to be, like, just growing with every fight. Yeah. And he's just, I mean, I think he's, and that's going to be like, duh. I think he's, like, a fighter we've never seen before. Like, a psychological master, like, we've never seen before. Now, it's a different thing because, like, Anderson Silva, his entrance was the best entrance I've ever seen in my life. Like that Chris Lieben fight where 13 punches, all connecting, fight over. We've never seen that before.
Right.
Where it's a, and you're
connecting
like,
on head movement too.
Who the fuck is this guy?
He was predicting where his head was going to move to, and there was a punch there waiting for him.
But the way Connor's called his shots, the psychological game he does, the way he promotes a fight, we've never seen this complete of a fighter before, ever, ever in my life. And it's just like, I just think it's a very special thing to watch. And, you know,
it
I know we've
special.
Been.
I've come around on him. It's pretty special.
I've come around too. There is a part of me that would still like to see him get his butt kicked. There's a part of me
that's
what's polarizing about this guy is because you have an opinion. You either want to see him win and you're all drinking his Kool-Aid, or you want to see him lose because you think he's a blowhard and you want to see a guy like that get his fucking mouth punched.
I agree.
So either way, you're in on it. He's like a Roddy Piper type for wrestling, because you either loved Roddy Piper because you like rooting for that guy and he made you laugh and whatever, or you hated that character and you wanted to see him get hit in the head with a table. But either way, you would tune in to watch him do his thing.
What I want to just say is how he's just, he's so cerebral, because up to the fight, it is just promotion. When the fight's over, and it's easy for him to do it because he's won each one we've seen, but he's just like respectful.
He sure is.
And he goes out of his way to show Connor. He shows every time he's fought, he has shown the people that he's beat.
Yep.
Yeah, he only said about Aldo, the only negative thing is, like, I don't know why he'd walk into that. I mean, it's if you hit that left, you will be out.
Every press conference that he's had, and especially this one, because this was a very contentious year of these two jawing at each other, and you could argue Connor being disrespectful to Aldo.
I didn't like when he grabbed the belt. That was my thing, because I feel like that's just this one thing you should show respect for.
Sure.
Is like, that's his belt. He's earned it. It's you don't touch it.
But
like,
you know
what
that
the saying is?
Sold a lot of fucking pay per view.
Right.
Him grabbing that belt.
NHL players do not touch the cup until they want it.
Sure.
For me, it's just like, you know, and that turned me off a little bit. And I'm like, but then afterwards, like, he's a great champion. If he wants a rematch, he deserves it. 10 years, the only guy to hold that before this. He is a great champion. It just wasn't his night. He deserves all the respect and more. And that's how you do it.
Yep.
And, like, for Jose Aldo to sit in there when he's literally been embarrassed by the world, I would say his loss is way more embarrassing just because how it happened than Ronda Rousey's. And for him not to run out when he had every right to run out, when he has every right to run out because he got shit on so much for 2 years.
Yep.
And get the knockout and to sit there and take his lumps and show respect and talk about it. It's like 10 times better than Ronda Rousey did.
How much do the two of you factor in octagon rust for Aldo?
I don't. He's been fighting for so long. And we're going to take your calls now. A lot of you guys have been calling in. We're going to take your calls now. I know you guys, do you guys have a show right after this? I know you got to get, if we can do like 2 minutes after, is that okay? And I'll rush you over?
Sure, man.
Okay. So we'll take a couple calls. A lot of people have been calling in. This fucking day's flown. It's been a lot of talk.
Let's do it. Let's hear it. Yeah, this
now nobody wants to call in. You've been calling enough.
By the way, Cerrone Dos Anjos. I'm rooting for Cerrone all the way.
I love Cerrone. And friend of the show. He's called into the show.
Friend of show. And I think RDS is a fucking cheater. I think he's juicing. I think he's beating it. You look at him earlier versus now. Just his fucking skull is bigger.
Big Cowboy Cerrone fan.
You know, so I'm going to, okay, 915.
He's called into the show before.
915, you are on with Ari Shaffir. Are you there, Ari? Did we lose you? Okay. What's up? You're on with us.
What's up?
How are you, bud?
Hey. So here's the thing. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but the UFC had an advertisement, you know, promotion thing about the EA Sports game, the new UFC game
with Ronda and
silhouette of like whoever wins this match between Aldo and McGregor, they would get, you know, they would get to be on the cover.
Yeah.
With Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
And my question was, well, Ronda Rousey got mocked. Why is she still on the cover? And I understand, like, contractual agreements or whatever, maybe. But, like, come out and say that. Like no one's questioning it. Because, and this ties in with the whole white woman aesthetic thing that you guys are talking about.
Right.
That whole bias.
Right.
Of, like,
they're completely
untouchable on top of that. And that, like, that kind of proves, like, the bias. It's like a bias within a bias. Because there was this whole, like, white women promoting thing, or just women. And then within that, they're like, Ronda's untouchable. She's on her own level. And like, it's like, why? It's like, no one's questioning shit.
Okay. Right, thanks for calling in, dude. I had to do that.
Let me
Ari.
Explain this to you in terms of what actual it means in terms of, like, unfair advantage and stuff like that. Ronda Rousey, and in terms of comedy, Ronda Rousey's on that cover because she's the most marketable name in MMA.
She sells more copies.
She brings in the most money.
Yeah.
And the most people would buy that game because of her.
Yep.
Women, female comics who want to be headliners, if you have a draw where people will come pay tickets for you, you will get booked, even if you suck.
Period.
Just go look at the girl code people that are headlining improvs.
Period.
They're not good, but people are showing up, so they get gigs.
I mean, there's people. Just to that,
Ronda Rousey lost or not, it ain't about like who has the best record.
Yep.
It was she was on the cover because she's massive.
I mean,
I'm gonna bring the 406 in 2 seconds. Hold on.
Just to that same point, it's like there's a lot of people that are, you know, like Steve-O, who's a good friend of all of ours. You know, isn't the, you know, lights out funniest stand up comic that there is. But he's getting paid to headline.
In seats.
He's getting paid to headline because people know who he is and he sells tickets.
Yep, I'm down
it's
with
the
that.
Same thing.
406, are you in? You're up.
Yeah, what's up, Sambo?
How are you, bud?
406.
406.
Cortland, New York.
Not too bad, not too bad. So, gun to your head, if we all probably agree that we want Cowboy winning on Saturday.
100%.
Which fight would you rather see? Him versus Connor or Frankie versus Connor? Gun to your head.
Ooh, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Dana gave him the option of a 155-pound title shot right away.
I saw that.
That's a great question.
Let's talk about it. What do you guys think?
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man. Good call, buddy.
Great
call.
I would love to see both of those fights.
Yeah.
You know, I would almost like to see him in reverse. You know, if he fights Edgar and wins in a decisive fashion, I think, yeah, man, maybe this guy actually should move up. Instead of, I kind of want to move up. You know, if he goes up to 155 and Cowboy beats the living fuck out of him, and make no qualms about it, Cowboy has said publicly, tell him to come up to 155. I got a butt kicking waiting for him.
Yeah, that's why I think I want to see that.
He comes up there and loses. I think the going back down to fight Edgar isn't as sexy.
Hold on. Turn down your radio, 786. Sorry, go on.
No, that was it. I think he should fight Edgar first and then move up versus moving up. Because if he moves up and wins at 155, going back down to fight Edgar loses a little bit of luster to me.
I agree. 786.
I personally would rather see him fight Frankie Edgar first.
I would too because it'd
be cool to see him move up, but it doesn't matter that it's against Cerrone or Dos Anjos. That doesn't really matter to me.
I just think to move up, you got to clear out the division, and I don't think he's cleared out the division yet. You clear out the division and move up.
Can you clear out the division? Without the belt, I always feel like the clean out division, you should have the belt.
I agree with you.
Like, so if you fought some guy when you weren't champion, to clean him out, I think you have to beat him as champion.
I think you have to have the belt and then clear out the division with it.
786, what's the word?
What's up, guys? I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
Yeah, another fucking Florida guy. How are you? I love you. What's the word?
What do you mean? Boo.
Ari. I love fucking Miami. I love doing stand up in Florida. I think Arizona's my favorite, probably right up there. But Florida, I never have a bad time doing stand-up in Florida.
Hottest bitches in
Florida. Oh, I'm talking to the guy to get out there of Miami.
They probably love when you call them bitches,
and
too.
And get girls pregnant. What's up? Hey, what do you want to talk about? We're taking calls, boss.
I want to talk about the Rockhold fight. I don't think this guy should get this the amount of like respect that he got. He beat Anderson Silva, which for me, in my opinion, was a kind of a fluke. I don't think he was the correct champion.
I don't think that's a fluke. You beat him twice, and he break.
No, but you know what he's saying. It's a bit of a fluke. He didn't really take it all the way.
He's not the right champion.
Dude, he knocked him out, Ari. He knocked him out, and then he checked his leg. He broke his leg.
Beat himself twice.
Come on, Sam. You know what he's talking about.
No way, dude. I think he's legit.
He knocked him out during a hot dogging event, and he broke his leg on a check.
That's not Weidman's fault.
And that is... How?
It's not his fault. It's not his fault, but you understand what he's saying when he's saying it's a bit of a fluke.
I disagree.
If he's hot dogging,
I don't think he was the correct champion. I don't think he was the champion we needed.
If Silva's hot dogging,
that's part of his
thing. And I can't knock you out, and then I win on some weird split decision, I'd be like, dude, he couldn't even knock him out when he was
Silva's fucking off. Is counter punching, so he makes you think you got him, and he's like opening, like, wow, he's wide open. Hit him. He moves. Bam! He hits you with that cyborg punch of just, I'm a drone. So I don't know. I still love Miami, though. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the support. And have a happy holiday, buddy. Happy holidays, buddy. We love Miami. If I do a show out there, I want you to come as my guest.
Last time I was in Miami, put the video back on. Last time I was in Miami, we left the club, and Paulie, we were opening for Paulie, and he gave us all a tip. He gave us all extra. And then we were like, oh, cool.
Dude,
and then
a year later,
he used to run the Miami Improv.
Yeah.
And he was like, I tipped you guys. I give it to Paul to give it to you. And I'm like, oh, he didn't give you any credit at all.
That's so funny.
Dude, I pulled the old gypsy do on you.
512. Where's 512? I know I like that.
That's
Eric.
Cortland.
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
I do love Austin.
How are you, bud? Thanks for calling in. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
That's what I'm doing my next special.
So, it's about to get a little less happy. Did you guys hear about Natasha and Moshe Kasher?
No, what?
Getting married?
Oh, of course we did.
Yeah, man, that was like 5 months ago.
It was 5 months ago?
Why?
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I thought it was just recently.
Why, are you sad?
Yeah, what are you
sad
about?
I just wanted to hear what Ari had to say.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they died, dude. Jesus Christ.
Ari went to the wedding and he threw a glass of water on Natasha's head again.
Did you?
No, it was a Jewish wedding, so I had to step on a glass of water in Natasha's face.
That's so funny. Did you go to the wedding, Ari?
No, I didn't go.
Yeah. So we're fine.
I'm happy for both
of
them. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I just heard him on Kill Tony, so I was like, well, I might as well ask what Ari thinks about it, because... Another stars there.
All right, man. Happy holidays, dude. I like both of them a lot.
I like both of them.
I think they're both nice people. They're doing great.
If they're happy together, I'm happy for them.
Yeah, so I'm cool with it, dude. I'm cool with it.
I just don't want my buddy to be all upset.
I think we took some calls. Do we got to take any more?
No, I think we're good.
I think we're good. So, guys, final thoughts. It's 2016. I mean, it's about to be 2016.
Yep,
it was a fun year.
Taking 2 weeks off.
We had a lot of fun. Two weeks off.
Thanks to all of our sponsors throughout the year. Thanks to everybody that has supported the show. Thanks to all of the fans who go to PunchDrunkSports.com and write for us. And as always, man, thank you guys for always tuning in, always listening.
Hey, what do you guys think? I'm thinking of shaving my head just here. So it's just like fully bald, like it's bald.
No, Ari, it looks really good right now.
You just need a red nose. You need a red nose and shave your face and you look like the guy in the operation.
Ari, final thoughts for 2015. What are you thinking? How you feeling? It's the end of the year. A lot of great stuff. You're coming back. You got the TV show coming out.
Well,
Final thoughts.
I just want to say, no matter what's happening, and I think we're all sports fans, and I think we're all sometimes kind of like what Frankie Edgar said, how he wasn't appreciating the moment the last time.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that. You guys get that, right? We
right.
do a big thing, and
right.
you almost don't take a step back and really examine it.
Yeah.
Guys, the Lakers are one of the worst teams in basketball right now.
Yes.
And let's just take a moment to be like, everything's pretty good.
We
might have trouble with our careers, and we might have likes and dislikes and girls hurting our feelings and stuff like that.
Two of us have troubles with our careers. One of us is doing pretty good. Don't worry about that.
That's me, right?
Yeah, okay, keep
fucking
going.
This guy.
Asshole.
But as long as the Lakers are in the cellar, I got to think, everything's
right where it should
okay.
be.
There's a little hope for all of us, dude.
Everything's right where it should be. The universe is just.
Tebow, yeah. Final thoughts.
This is the year of the Teeb. This is the year where I do not say on this episode, I'm going to put a gun in my mouth and I won't talk about. You ever have that kind of itch on the roof of your mouth that only a shotgun barrel can
love
scratch?
Love that saying. Love that saying.
This is not going to be that year for me, you guys.
Tebow,
thank you
good
for
things
all your
are
support.
Happening for you. I think 2016 is the year of the Teeb. That's my too. Honest opinion. Sure. What?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's my honest opinion. I think next year is a year you really hit a good stride.
I think so,
and
too,
and things
guys.
Start going good for you. I think you're loved by a lot of people, and your work ethic is going to get on a fucking
nice...
So
what about you doing
a CD? I'm talking about doing it this year.
You should do it, put out an All Things Comedy, and blow it the fuck up.
I would that's one of my year
or,
goals.
Or, dude, get a little money together, save a little cash, and just have Patrick come down from fucking Canada, shoot a 3-camera shoot, do your own DVD, pull the audio off it, and put it out. Guys, we got to go. I just want to put it out. Sam Tripoli, I had a great year. Some of you guys say some mean shit, but I know it's all in jest. Thank you for the support. 2015 was great. I do love doing this podcast, even though some people drive me crazy once in a while. I'm very happy to be a part of this, and I think we're going to do big stuff, man. I wanted to start doing some, once Ari's in L.A. and he's a little time open, we can start doing some stand-up events around Southern Cal. And,
yeah, let's do live shows again.
Yes,
absolutely.
We're going to do some live shows.
Maybe fart funnel at a live show. No, that's on the air.
That's, well, we'll discuss that. And I'm very excited about what the next year is going to have. Guys, be a part of the show. Write for the website, man. Hot chicks, weird sex toys, weird stories. Hook it up. Thanks to Vicente for doing all the shit that, you know, uploading the podcast, being a part of the family.
Thanks to Anthony Johnson for running all of our
thanks for Anthony
fantasy
Johnson.
Football sports and all the fun things you guys can do and participate in the show.
And fuck Legion of Skanks. I heard they talk shit about us.
Oh, my God.
And thanks to James for all your work. I
thanks
know you
for
a
James for doing all the work. Thanks for Bill for doing the website.
All right. Would you like to thank James for sucking your cock all the time?
Yeah, James, nobody cleans it out like you do. Really.
That's fucking great.
And thanks to All Things Comedy for letting us use
thanks.
These facilities and doing all
thanks
of the things they do.
Aaron,
so
Mike, Al, and Bill for all they did for the year. I mean, I've said so much fun.
And thanks to General Awards for really letting me concentrate on my editing right now.
That's great, dude. That's great. Now, are you jerking off with a glove, a hand glove?
I am not.
Okay, you could do that, and therefore it won't spread, and you could still release the beast, dude. Happy holidays to everybody. The Jew, I love you. We will see you in L.A. on the next show. And, guys, be safe out there, and get that ass, dog. Bye, Ari.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.